Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Oh boy. Here we go. Yes, grab the last glass of water. Here we go. This is going to be an interesting day because so much of it just happened in the last half hour, maybe even the last 20 minutes, because I thought of something yesterday. I'm thinking, well, actually I looked this up about an hour ago, but I didn't think too much. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be in the show title. Show title today is, okay, so what really happened during the world social media blackout? I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. Social media shut down. This is a big deal. Okay. This is a very big deal, but, you know, I didn't think there was necessarily, you know, some major conspiracy behind it. Now I do. And the reason I do, and I'll explain to everybody, and Gene, you're going to walk down the rabbit hole with me. We got a long trip today. We have a very long trip today. And so what I found is I'm looking into this. I got some articles, and the weirdest thing happened. So I pulled out an article on what happened to WhatsApp and Facebook and things like that, and then I went back to search for more articles, and they all disappeared. The search engine had completely changed. There were no more articles on what happened yesterday. I'm like, well, this is interesting. So I'm glad I got the one article. Then I was able to go back on that particular browser window and retrace my steps, but I don't think you can find the same ones. I caught it about a minute before they changed all the search engines. Okay. So what they're calling this is a reconfiguration, a faulty reconfiguration. Well, I don't think it was faulty at all. I think it was a complete reconfiguration of social media. We just don't know what it is yet. And as I dug further into this, I found that – let me see if I can pull up some of the things that are going on. So I thought, well, the only way I can do this is just go over the articles and let you know what happened. So I thought, okay, well, this is interesting. I don't want to do that one yet. This is – a lot of this is – trust me, a lot of this is really last minute. So they say Facebook blames faulty configuration change for nearly six-hour outage. Well, that's interesting. And then I got another one here from Yahoo. You know, what did Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, why did they go down? And then I have another one here. Why did Facebook go down? The last one is Facebook blames faulty configuration change. Well, what the hell is what's the proper configuration change? And who knows about configurations anyway? Which led to my next series of articles, all right? And so let me see if I can find that. Oh, here we go. Okay. So then I got to this organization. I got the CRR Resource Guide. Well, CRR Resource Guide is put out by CS. What is this? Where are they there? They're connected with. You know, I know this sounds crazy, but actually, this is more organized than you think. Once we get into this a little bit more, here we go. CISA. So CISA did this whole thing on configuration management. All right. Well, who's CISA? Well, they're the let me go back over here. Sorry, we're going to flip it around again. They are, where's my about section? Cybersecurity and Information Infrastructure Security Agency, the nation's risk advisor. They're the ones that work on cybersecurity. Okay. Well, who was the head of CISA a while back? Chris Krebs. Who was Chris Krebs? Chris Krebs was the one that said that we had the most secure election in history and Trump fired him. Well, where's Chris Krebs now? Well, working with a guy from Facebook. Okay. So, well, that's interesting. So why is a former executive who's a big tech, you know, huge big tech guy who absolutely defied the Trump administration, said it's the most secure, you know, election in history. I mean, knows damn well it wasn't. We're now working with someone in Facebook when social media reconfigured yesterday. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I'm really suspicious. I'll explain. That's the short version. The long version we're going to get to after Gene, because we have the first segment of the show today is going to be Gene is fond of saying, "Are you kidding me?" So I couldn't resist naming this first section of the show, you know, "Are you kidding me?" with Gene Vernick. Gene, let me see if I can get you up and running here. Well, she's muted right now. That's okay. Wait till Gene gets back. Oh, there she is.
I'm okay. Here. I just didn't want to have any noise.
I can
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let me turn it over to you. Do you like initial impression? Do you like the rabbit hole we're about to walk down? Are you curious?
Yeah, I'm really curious because one thing I heard of this, or within the last few days, and I wasn't able to read the article, but they think something big is going to be happening between the 8th and probably the 24th. Who knows? They've been saying this for a long time.
I think something big just did happen.
I think someone said really big, they think even bigger stuff is going to happen today. So it will be interesting. And it's also, I saw pictures of all the, what is it, the, I don't know, cargo ships or whatever that is on the coast. That's insane. So,
well, yeah, that's to starve us. They're starving us of energy. They're starving us of food. They're starving us. They're killing people with COVID that they're calling a vaccine. This is the exact opposite of Trump. This is make America suck. You look at everything that's happening. It's the absolute opposite. Trump brought in more goods, made energy accessible. Made us energy independent. Told the four nations to go pound sand. And put tariffs on China and everybody else. He did everything that he did made America great. Okay, and now the exact opposite. Business as usual apparently is where America sucks, and that's what these people want. And so that's why you're seeing all those ships out there. We haven't really looked into the ship issue. I think that's a really good point. I think that's something I'm going to have to do some investigating on. But anyway, so let me turn it back to you. And now I present. Are you kidding me? With Jean Burning.
Someone was telling me, Eric, what I was listening to last night, he was saying that even in the, Midwest, going through where the Mississippi River is in places, he said there's a lot of cargo ships in those areas. I was like, wow. So what do they know that we don't know? It'll be interesting to see what's going to come up real soon, I believe.
Oh, it's always interesting. In the land of Biden Marxism, it's always interesting. It's just not good.
Yeah. But one thing, talk about what people think. And I really want people to come to the chat or just even to call in because I'd be curious. The FU Joe Biden chants. And part of me is like, yeah. And then part of me is like, all right, this is not what we want to be showing children and younger kids. It's like, so once again, do as I say, not as I do. Because really, that's, could we have, and so I just want to give people take. And then I'm thinking, well, I know, just hear me out for a second. I know he's our president, but technically, because he was sworn in, but technically, is he our president because of how it was done, the cheating, everything else? But then it's like, well, but the facts are the facts, not the facts, but what is that he was given those votes. So that means technically he got above what he was supposed to. So then it's like, the who is the president of the United States should be given respect. But then it's like, how can you give someone respect when he's one so incompetent? He only has his best interests at heart because he don't have anybody else's best interests at heart but his own. You look at Fauci, same thing. They're what they want and their agenda, that's all that matters. And so it's like, I'm really curious to what people think about that because part of me is like, oh my God, that is just so patriotic. I'm so glad people are starting to speak up, and show others what they think. And then it's like, well, is there really that many people saying that or is there other people in the crowd that are just going along with it? But the reason I ask is what game was it over the weekend, I think in Tennessee, and I saw a clip yesterday. And usually you get a lot of people to say it. I mean, there was even, where was it? Yeah, in a library or something I saw last week, people were chanting it. But it's like, there were so many people chanting it that it was like, wow, you guys, I don't think there's anybody there that didn't chant it. And so I'm just curious.
What does that tell you?
What is your take? Yeah.
What does that say when an entire stadium says FU Biden? I mean, as much as the left hated Trump got stadiums full of people that were supporting him. Biden actually has the opposite effect. It's kind of fascinating that for every Trump stadium that was full of supporters, there's now a Biden stadium full of people saying, F you, Biden.
Right.
And people think he won. When stadiums full of people say, F you, Biden, that to me is prima facie evidence that he didn't win anything. Well, we know he cheated. We know he's not president. We know the January 6th, the challenge to the states never took place. They never finished the election process. And he's also under an ongoing investigation currently with the election audits. So there's no way he should be allowed to do anything while he's under an ongoing investigation. So apparently I'm the only one saying it, but that's what I think. I think you're on the right track here. So feel free. Keep going. This is interesting.
I'm just amazed. And so, I'm really curious as to what people think. But I tell you, the momentum for, I don't even want to say Trump, because Trump has huge momentum, but I think it's more than that. I think it's the people that really, truly love America. And I don't want to say people that voted for Biden don't love America, but if you look at policies, and you can say, well, look how bad Trump talked. You know, of all the nasty, or the negative stuff, I guess, that Trump said, if you look at his whole comments, his what he was talking about, take the whole topic in entirety, you would see a whole different picture. Look at Biden. When he opens his mouth, he's like Obama, the great divider, the great divider. And it's interesting how the media paints a picture that is not. So and another topic I want to bring up is the.
But hold on, no. I want to explore this a little bit. So before you get going, yeah, we got an hour. let's explore, shall we? Because this is fascinating. Perceptions, you know, are stronger than reality, and assumptions are stronger than truth. These are the rules that we live by here at Action Radio, and the things that we're combating the most, because truth is what we're after. But it's hard to get through truth when assumptions are stronger, and it's hard to get to reality when the perceptions are stronger. So the perception is Trump said all these offensive things. Can you name one?
Me? You want me to name one?
That's the point.
The one that comes to mind now, just because I can't think of anything else right now. But there's two things, and let me say one that always sticks out in my mind, and then I'm going to talk about. Let me talk about the other one first. That he's racist. When did he ever say anything about being? I mean that. Showed you that he was racist, number one. And everybody will say that. I was listening to someone last week, which, what was it? Are you more afraid of Trump or the Taliban? Oh, Trump. Why? He's a racist. Mm-hmm. When? Tell me something, one, when he was a racist, and two, what sticks out is when they made such a big deal about this when he, during the campaign, I think it was, when he made fun of that handicapped reporter, the handicapped person, whoever that was, and then you took his whole speech and it wasn't exactly like the media portrayed it to be. And that was a big aha moment for me too, because it's like you can't cherry pick when you're talking about what someone says. You need to tell the truth when you're in news, or you should. That should be the first thing. Tell no lies. And it's the second thing, I really believe, when people are in mainstream news, that you should not know what political party they're affiliated with. That should not be known, because you are just stating the facts, you're not giving your opinion, and that's it. Talk radio, this is a little bit different, because this is talk radio. We may know, we want to know the truth, but the thing is, it may seem like we're more one-sided versus the other, because, you know, we're more, I don't want to say, I guess, four people pro-America.
Yeah. I was just looking something up when you're talking about Biden, and apparently he made a comment. Where's the quote? He talked about, I'm still trying to find it, that he said that Obama was clean. You know, he was, here he goes. Biden famously said in the New York Observer, I mean, you got the first mainstream African-American who was articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy. Can you imagine Trump saying, well, you know, Obama's okay. You know, he's clean. He's a nice-looking guy. He's actually articulate and bright. You know, I mean, that's as racist as it gets, because it assumes that all the other African-Americans are not clean, you know, articulate or bright. I mean, it's an incredibly racist thing that he said. Okay, and he said all kinds of racist things, but that's not the point. The point is that Trump hasn't. You know, you can't point to a Trump racist statement. You can point to things that people are calling racist, all right, that don't involve race. But, you know, my theory is that if you want to find the racist, see who brings up race first. Because most of us don't think in terms of race. I don't. I don't think in terms of race until it's brought up. And I go, oh, yeah, race. Okay, right. Yeah, I guess I got to deal with that, you know, one way or another. But, yeah, so the things that Biden says, and people can't quote. You know, they know Trump. They had this thought in their head that was planted by propaganda, by social media, by fake news. that Trump is a racist. And they said it over and over and over and over again. If I said Biden was a dictator as many times as media said Trump was a racist, everybody would think Biden is a dictator as compared to those of us who actually know he's a dictator, which is anybody that listens to this show. So that's the problem. The problem is, and I just wrote these two things down, is assumptions are stronger than truth and perceptions are stronger than reality. So the question is, how do we get through the assumptions and the perceptions to get to reality and truth? What do you think? I mean, I don't know. That's more of a mission than a question.
You really just have to keep looking up the truth or looking at an article.
You like me. I talk too fast, too. That's what you hear me saying.
Then ask, does that make sense? What resonates? And then look up something else. And, well, also look where you're getting the information from. But then look, continue to look up articles or facts. Who was there? Are the people there? Are they the ones talking? And just try that. And are we going to be right 100% of the time? No. But you know what? I find an article or I just think about it more and I say, you know what, I was wrong. I will admit when I am wrong. Yeah, I don't have a problem not admitting when I'm wrong. But it's just really sad because the truth is out there, but sometimes the truth is hard to find because they plaster. It's just like COVID and getting the vaccine and that everybody needs to get it. That's another topic.
Let's talk about that for a second. I want to hold you up here because you bring up some great topics, and I just don't want to pass them by because they're too good. There, again, perception. Let's look at this in terms of what we're sort of the theme that's developing here of perceptions and assumptions. The assumption is when you call it a vaccine that it'll prevent you from getting the disease. That's not true. In fact, it's a messenger RNA shot that teaches your body how to make the disease inside you. That's the truth. Okay, that's the reality. But the perception is that Dr. Anthony Fascist, Dr. Fascist is here for the public good. He's a public person, and he's here to help. And the perception is that the substance they're injecting people is actually a vaccine that prevents the disease. The other perception is if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to die because COVID's going to kill you. And the truth is completely different. The truth is, as we've said it, that this is a messenger RNA, genetic alteration permanently teaching your body how to make COVID virus with spike proteins. Your body learns to, I guess, attack the COVID virus. I mean, that's how antibodies work for whatever particular strain they've injected you with. But the problem is the spike proteins break off, and those spike proteins are every bit as deadly as the virus itself. In fact, they are the virus, right? The spike proteins contain the same information, and they're the blood clotting agents. They're the organ damaging agents. And I guess I'm just going to shock you. Let me bring this up right now because this really is horrifying. And then we can get back to what you're talking about. I mean, like I say, you bring up good topics. I want to explore them, but I want to throw this in right now because this came to me in a message, and it's the obituary of Jessica Berg Wilson. Jessica Berg Wilson was a gorgeous woman, died at the age of 37. It says Jessica Berg Wilson. This is in the Oregonian. Okay, so we know Oregon is famous for vaccine mandates and letting Antifa destroy their cities and everything else. So it says Jessica Berg Wilson, October 29, 1983 to September 7, 2021. Jessica Berg Wilson, 37, of Seattle, Washington, passed away unexpectedly September 7, 2021 from COVID-19 vaccine-induced thrombocytopenia. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe you know. VITT. Surrounded by her loving family, Jessica was an exceptionally healthy and vibrant 37-year-old young mother with no underlying health conditions. And there's more to it, describes her background. She's a wonderful woman. But she died unexpectedly September 7th at the age of 37. And it says right here, from COVID-19 vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia. That's probably cytokine storm stuff as well, VITT, whatever that is. That's shocking. And this is what's happening. This is someone who probably, whose COVID susceptibility was less than, 0.02%. Okay. 2/2000% because typical immunity is 99.0 typical, non-event is like 99.5%. The average person has 99.5% chance of not having this seriously affect them. That's insane. And yet that's what's going on. But the perception was that this was a vaccine that would be good for her, that she needs it to prevent COVID. And now she's died of the very thing that the perception and the assumptions led her to believe was something that was good to do. That's why this is such a problem. Jean?
Yeah, very sad. Very, very sad.
Very sad. But yeah. Very preventable. Very preventable.
Well,
that's the problem. There was no need for her to die at 37. None.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. But the problem is, okay, how many people died because of the vaccine or vaccine-related things? They say maybe 47,000 people. But did you know that if someone died within 14 days of getting at least one of the vaccines,
mm-hmm.
I think that's how it is, they're not considered being vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly
it doesn't
right.
matter what they died of, even if they died within a week or two from getting that vaccine, they're not vaccinated. That's BS. They said it could be up to 200,000 people that have died because of getting vaccinated. You know, Dr. Fauci has so much blood on his hands, it's not even funny. And I was reading or listening to something last night again. There's a guy in Chattanooga. Their family pulled him out of the hospital. He is mm-hmm. doing better at home getting treated than he was in the hospital. That's a travesty when they put him on remdesivir, and how many of them within a week or two of being put on that ventilator are dead?
Yeah.
Or maybe not dead. They continue to struggle until they finally die. That's horrible. Horrible. But then ivermectin? Oh, no, you can't have that. But yet there's a place in, what is it, India? Oh, God, let me think. I don't know if I can remember the name of that place. We should find it here.
Uttar Pradesh, India.
Yes.
And we have Indian listeners to Uttar Pradesh.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I'm going to do my worst Indian accent. My apologies to India. Thank you very much.
Yes. But where they have no deaths now because of COVID. Why?
They're essentially COVID free. Yeah. And that's been reported. And the reason is, Jean?
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah. The ivermectin.
Exactly.
The way it's treated, put it that mm-hmm. way. But no, we're supposed to go to the hospital, get the remdesivir, and the ironic thing is, like, what is it, the CDC? I think it was the CDC. They have that. There's something about the ivermectin with the CDC that it doesn't say that you can't give it. But the thing is, in this country, so many hospitals or the powers that be in the hospitals, they do not follow it. I don't know why they came. Well, I guess I do know why they came up with remdesivir and
I can tell you.
Putting on the fence. Money. I mean, if you look at the money they get, it's mm-hmm. for ivermectin. It costs about $24 per person. The remdesivir, it costs between $2,300 and $3,100 for 5 days. I mean, right there, it should tell you. But who's behind all this stuff? Bing, 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 bing. Yes, you got it. Fauci.
Dr. Fascist. The one and only. See, you know, people laughed at me when I first called him a genocidal psychopathic vaccine drug pusher. But I was right. I was completely right. You know, let me tell you a little story here that I think will make this clear. And this is one of the beauties of doing research when you write legislation. And so we have a bill. It's an FDA overhaul that I wrote with Dr. Zelenko. I mean, I actually wrote the bill in the law, but he supplied all the information. I mean, the man's a genius, and he's world-renowned. He's going to get a Nobel Peace Prize, which will be quite a slap in the face to the left that said he was a crackpot, because he's not. What we learned is that the way the FDA works, the way an emergency use authorization works, is it can be granted as long as there isn't another viable, less expensive treatment currently available, because an emergency use is for something new, okay? So the way you get something new is that you have to make sure nothing else is already available. Well, there already was something available, hydroxychloroquine, and later ivermectin. So in order to get the emergency use authorizations for a brand new gene-altering experimental drug with billions and billions and billions of dollars in profit potential, they had to get rid of anything that would have blocked it. And if they had hydroxychloroquine, you would never see a single messenger RNA gene shot. It just wouldn't exist because the law would prevent it. Because the law would say, and if we'd followed the law, instead of following the fake science, if we just followed the law and kept hydroxychloroquine for its lawful use, which is, it had been approved for over 60 years. Ivermectin, I think, is about 50 years old, you know, and either one of those would counter the vaccine. So they would never have gotten an emergency use authorization if hydroxychloroquine had been approved for COVID. That's why they had to demonize it. That's why they had to demonize Trump. That's why they had to put this whole media campaign with big tech and social media, and all these folks had to demonize hydroxychloroquine. They had to take doctors' licenses away. They had to do everything because it went against the marketing campaign. See, COVID is a marketing campaign. First, they developed the messenger RNA vaccine. Then they developed a virus that they could use against it, except that it doesn't. It does the opposite. They call it a vaccine when it's really a gene infusion of the disease, of the virus. But that's the reason, because they could never have even gotten an authorization as long as there was another substance available. That's why they did it. Does it make sense now?
Yeah. So
pretty scary, huh? That they're willing to sacrifice 700,000 Americans, 1 million Americans. They're willing to sacrifice all those people. You know, it's not just blood on his hands. He's got, you know, torrents of blood on his hands. He's got genocide on his hands, because here's somebody, Dr. Fascist, that cares so little for human life, that is so despotic, so obsessed, so avaricious, so, you know, egotistical, has so much hubris that he was willing to not only to sacrifice all these American lives so that he and his friends in Big Pharma, who is equally as disgusting as he is, could make a massive profit. And the only way they could do that was to ban the treatments and cures that would have saved at least 85% of those people. Dr. Zelenko says it. Dr. Mikovits says it. Dr. Harvey Risch, who I've also been in communications with at Yale University, says it. Senator Johnson has come out with it too. He's held hearings on early treatment. This is all known. And yet the propaganda goes on, because everybody's making money on death. Death, apparently, is very profitable in this country today. Call me cynical, but that's what's happening.
Yeah. It's just so sad.
It's very sad. But it's preventable too. Yeah, go ahead.
And it's not only that. I think what also breaks my heart is the fact to know that these people that are put in the hospital on a ventilator can't have anybody come to visit them.
And why is that?
And
if they're on a ventilator, they're already excluded from other people. They're already, in, you know, why would they do that? I think they do that so the family won't take them off the ventilators. Okay, because 97% of the people put on a ventilator die. So going on a ventilator is a death sentence. So why would a hospital, so the reason that the hospitals, I think, are preventing family members from visiting people on ventilators is because the family members would demand that they got different treatment, got off the damn ventilator, and got out of the hospital. There's too much money in ventilators, and we have to blame Trump for this, because he's the one that put them all in the hospitals. He's the one that had the warp speed. We got to get ventilators out there. Well, ventilators have killed more people probably than COVID.
But the thing is, look who he was listening to, number one. And number two, as you know, the thing is with the COVID, it happened so fast. I mean, people started getting sick, and then pandemonium stepped in. And so what I'm getting at is, okay, so this is how you first treated it. And if that wasn't working out, they can always change their treatment. You know, with cancer treatments, you may start out treating a certain cancer one way, but new technologies, new medications, different things come out. You don't just keep treating them the same way. I think, and this is just me, but the agenda was or is being served. I mean, this is what they wanted to happen. Fauci and all of them. I mean, that was their plan. But the thing is, the doctors are very smart people. It's like, you don't have to continue doing the same thing if it doesn't work.
Well, they're smart people, but they're also a bunch of cowards, except for those that are challenging this. You know, the brave doctors, Dr. Simone Gold, Dr. Stella Emanuel, Dr. Harvey Risch, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. There are others that I have an entire computer file filled. Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the messenger RNA shot. This is, nobody should get this. Dr. Shiva, who talked about how medicine has changed from personalized to one size fits all. I mean, there's a lot of really brave doctors out there, but and if, coincidentally, not one of them works for government. What a surprise. So there's your problem. There's your problem. You know, this is government, big pharma, big tech, industrial complex that makes death as a byproduct of billions of dollars in profits. And they don't care, because if they cared, they would have started this. And this started 20 years ago, at least. And here's the other thing, too, that's interesting that people forget. Dr. Fascist knew back in 2005 that hydroxychloroquine cured. Hydroxychloroquine and zinc cured SARS-CoV-1. So when they used gain of function and they genetically engineered SARS-CoV-2, they already knew the cure, because the two are like 72% of the same genome. So Dr. Fascist is also cynical enough to have a cure for himself, a way out, so that he would never get the disease he's creating for everybody else. What do you think of that?
That does not surprise me.
Yeah. I'll bet if you tested his blood, I bet if you tested, and here's the other thing we talked about, I think, briefly yesterday. Not one single politician has died of COVID. Name one. Name a major bureaucrat
that's
died
true.
Of COVID.
That's true. And if you consider how many people have gotten it, how many people mm-hmm. have died, and it's mm-hmm. not, and it's just random. And what I mean by random is it's mm-hmm. not one group of people. Healthy people have died from COVID. I mean, healthy people prior to getting COVID. And mm-hmm. so you would think
healthy
that
people are dying of the shot. Yeah.
And they're So then to me, it would make sense that, okay, the likelihood of someone in government getting it, one person even, would be a high probability.
Mm-hmm.
And how interesting. You brought up a very good point. Zero. So right there, what are mm-hmm. they getting? Are they getting the vaccine? Heck no.
Nope. They're getting the preventives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not only that, they're lying about it. So they're lying about the fact that they're – and Dr. Stella Emanuel is the one that gave me the clue to that. She says, if I can test their urine, if I can find out, you know, if I can get a blood test on these people, she says, I'll bet you I find they're all in hydroxychloroquine. She said that a year ago. So I start watching, you know, and I find it – the most fascinating thing about news is only half of what we do here is what's reported. The other half that we talk about that no one else does, at least to the extent, is what's unreported. That's what we're going to do today with the whole social media thing. But it is fascinating that it's the way these things work. Let me take a quick break here for a second. We can go back to more Gene's topics. I want to play you some stuff, and we'll be right back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive, and this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's Page One. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can be trusted as much as personal recommendations from family and friends. You can increase foot and website traffic. You can do all this, all without paying Google, Facebook, or Instagram one red cent. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com. That's besmallbusiness.com, BESMALLBUSINESS, besmallbusiness.com. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. Dangerously cool. All right, so just before Gene gets back with more topics, I looked at our international map, and for the first time, Russia is now in our top four nations outside the United States. The United States dominates with over 90% of our listeners, but there's some other countries that are quite interesting in catching up. They're nowhere near close, but it's just interesting they're moving up. Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, and for the first time, Russia. Usually it's Israel or Germany. Are in the number four slot, but Russia. So, Gene, we've been listening to in Russia. We got comrades there. We've got people listening and going, freedom. Maybe I write laws and we take them to Putin. We see what we can do. What do you think? Is a good idea? We get borscht and legislation. We can do it at Russia. Okay, fine. Sorry for my bad accent, guys.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
So Russia's picking up. Now, China's banned us. I know that because, China just left the map, and they left the map at the same time as they took Taiwan off. That's why it looks so suspicious. If China had just left and Taiwan had left later, I would have, that's interesting. But the fact they both left together, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's quite it. So we're banned by China's banned us. So Xi Jinping, if you're listening, have a really lousy day. You suck. You're a communist dictator, and I want you, out of office as quickly as possible. I hope the Chinese people rise up against you, you miserable SOB. That ought to get me some notice. What do you think? Think it'll keep me out of China?
I think so. Yeah. Okay,
Yeah, we're fearless here. We don't care. Yeah. Gene, more topics? Right.
Yes. The one, this is a weird one. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. The Kyrsten Sayma, the Arizona Democrat that is also a professor and has been for the last, 18 years at ASU,
Kyrsten Sinema.
Sorry that I said her name wrong.
Movies, cinema, theater, Kyrsten Sinema.
Cool.
That's how I remember
it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how they did it, but supposedly, I don't want to say gate crackers, I guess class crashers, they got through or entered a locked, secure building, which that is scary in itself if they were able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize they got into her classroom, but they got into her classroom and they followed her into the ladies' room and they continued to tape her while she was in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And how sad is that? How sad is that? And did you hear what Biden said about it?
Detail. I think I heard the quote, but go ahead.
Basically, what he said was, that happens to all of us, except for those that have police around them. It's like, are you kidding me?
Never happened to Pelosi.
These people are the insurrectionists. No one on January 6th went chasing anybody in government. No one. No one. These guys followed this lady. I mean, can you imagine? And her students. Taking pictures in the classroom. Those students did not ask for pictures to be taken. Just to think that they're above the law. Are you kidding me? I mean, how sad is that? Why? Because to me, what they're doing is threatening her. And just because she won't go along with the amnesty bill or the joke of legislation that the Democrats have out now or they want people or to get voted on. That is sad. Very sad.
Well, it's more than sad. It's illegal. It's what we call assault. It's what we call stalking. Okay. If you follow some, and I think there was a guy there. If I remember the tape from One American News, there was a guy that followed her into the women's room. All right. So that's, that guy should be arrested right there and then for that. But the fact that they kept accusing her, it's like when they had, there was a senator on the committee to, when they were, had Brett Kavanaugh, frat boy, who I don't like particularly. I was in favor of him simply because I didn't want some leftist Marxist on the court, but that's about it. Because his view of the Constitution, I'll tell you about later. But the point is that they were cornering people in the elevators. How can you do this? What's going on? You know, and they're pretending to be just regular citizens. But the people that were, you know, attacking Senator Sinema were George Soros sponsored people. This is an organized campaign. This is Marxism. This is what Marxism does. Divide, conquer, intimidate, threaten, cancel. This is how it happens. I mean, it hasn't happened to us yet other than on social media where it happened a lot. But there's going to come a day. You know, the bigger we get, the more they're going to say really horrible things about us. So I just want to warn you ahead of time, Gene. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get really ugly. And so you and I and anybody associated with Action Radio stand a very good chance of being completely harassed in public. I say bring it on. I'm ready. You know, I don't have a problem with it. But that's what happens. And the problem is that the conservatives don't fight back. There's no you know, anti stalking crowd. You know, there's no group of conservative warriors that are there to defend these people when something like that happens. And so the security should do it. These people need security all the time. I mean, they really do. I'm surprised the senator didn't have security, unless they thought they didn't need it. But somebody got in and somebody paid a lot of money to do this. This is definitely a Soros operation, just like all the district attorneys that are letting criminals out in the streets. So now we've got criminals on the streets from the district attorneys. We've got criminals on the streets because apparently the Afghanis are walking off the Air Force base. Oh, what a surprise. They're not waiting for their entire resettlement program. Well, you never asked them to. You never required it of them before they came to the country. They just brought in the goat herders with the old men and their five-year-old wives, you know, which is horribly disgusting. And yet here they are, which is part of the Obama Muslim resettlement program. And these people are not, they're not assimilating. They don't care about the United States. They want to Sharia law things. So they're going to form a community of Afghanis. It's going to be just as disgusting as they are, you know, in Afghanistan. So this is what's going on. So we're importing all the problems. All this is preventable. Everything that's happening now is preventable. If the geldings had simply stood up and not let Biden take the White House, it was just that simple. But this is what happens. You know, it was Edmund Burke or one of these folks that said, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And good people are not so good for doing nothing. Yeah, then I don't think of that as good people anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that was sad. It's
very
like, and the media tries to twist it around, and there's no way of twisting it. They got the videos. Mm-hmm. They got what the people are saying. It's like every one of those people needs to be arrested. And you talk about being able to vote. I'm sorry, but people like that, their right to vote should be taken away because this is not what we do in this country.
Who's
and
right
I
to
think,
vote?
And I, the people that are causing all these issues, you know, the insurrection.
Well, those folks
are
illegal
videotaping.
Those people yesterday videotaping and that
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, no,
they
weren't. No, they supposedly are here legally.
No, they're not.
At least
she admitted she was here. Admitted that she was
one?
Brought here illegally. She's a DACA. She's a DACA person. DACAs are not legal. Yeah, no, they're illegal aliens. Yeah. So, in fact, this is where it gets even worse because they should have been deported immediately. You know, for breaking our laws. In fact, you don't get to be a citizen. First of all, you don't get to be a citizen if you're a lawful immigrant and you do that kind of stuff. You know, if you're
right.
a naturalized citizen, you can have your citizenship stripped away. I mean, there's very simple ways. If you work for another government, if you serve in another military, if you denounce the United States, renounce the United States, whatever, your citizenship, you lose it. It's gone.
Right.
Naturalized Americans are much more precarious than natural-born Americans. Most people don't know
mm-hmm.
that. These people are illegal aliens. They have no rights whatsoever. They have no ground to stand on. And, you know, it's like the same thing, for the same reason that Biden can't stay in the White House because he stole it. You know, these people can't stay in the country because they stole in. You know, their parents brought them in. Okay, that's a crime. You know, we don't blame the kids when they're kids, but we blame them when they're adults. Okay, so when they're adults,
right.
they need to go back. You know, they need to go back when their parents went back. They all need to go back to their homes and apply legally. You know, and so that's the solution to that. But this is the thing. Now you've got another million illegal aliens like that woman last night who was accusing Senator Sinema of not cooperating with their illegal campaign. But this is what's happening now because all these people are here, You know, and it's like Sweden when these refugees, these Syrian refugees, were, I hate to say this, raping 15-year-old girls, you know, and the Swedes were horrified by that. But they brought those people in. That's what they do in that country, you know, and so that's what you're importing. We're importing a bunch. We've imported 130,000, you know, plus when we get the relatives, it'll be about 1 million Afghan Sharia law Taliban goat herders with old men and 5-year-old wives. Okay, that's what we brought in, and yet we left Americans there. That has to be by design because they were all at the airport. What a surprise! No one's
right,
asked
exactly.
That thing too. So here's a question for you: when that whole we had, you know, Governor, we had General Milquetoast, we had Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, the Affirmative Action Secretary, and we had McKenzie. I don't even know who he is. So you had two generals and a Secretary of Defense, none of which are qualified to be where they are. Not one.
Right.
And yet,
right,
and
exactly.
No one. Yeah, but not one person in Congress asked, how did those 100,000 people happen to be at the airport, you know, in time for the evacuation? You know, 100,000 people don't just show up. You know, they have to be organized. That's a lot of people, okay?
Right.
You know, unless it's a Trump rally. You know, then you can get 100,000 people. That's easy. You know, if you get a Biden, you know, stadium, then you got 100,000 people yelling, you know, F you Biden. But you can't
right.
suddenly get 100,000 goat herders and their 5-year-old wives, you know, under Air Force jets while excluding Americans, unless it's organized. So people forget that. Yeah. Anyway.
Just
more
just
topics?
So sad. Yeah.
Every
so sad.
All right. Let me play our Santa Rosa Volunteers piece. I kind of goofed. I got a little carried away with projects and work for the show. And so I don't have my new one yet. I'll have it tomorrow. So let me play a couple of things here, actually. Well, no, I'll just play it. This is on the Federalist, Any Federalist number 5, because it's really instructive. It's instructive as to what's happening, what the debate was. And I'm finding the Anti-Federalist papers, the ones who are against the Constitution, have a lot stronger argument than those who were for it. The ones who are for it seem to be doing it like most people do it, for their own personal gain, whereas the Anti-Federalists are much more, you know, seem to be arguing, you know, for the people and the states to maintain their power, and have a very limited federal government, if anything, like they had under the Articles of Confederation. So I'll play this and I'll be back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Federalist Papers number 5. Once again, we return to the elitist national government promoting and future Supreme Court Chief Justice John Jay. It's hard to imagine any of his court opinions were of much use, given he returns to his favorite tactic of starting with a false hypothesis, using a false comparison for evidence, and making up his predetermined conclusion with absolutely no progression of evidence to prove his case. His basic premise is that since England and Scotland formed an entire and perfect union, which is something he got from a letter by Queen Anne back in 1706 when the states were mere colonies, that we could do exactly the same here with our states. He was, in fact, modeling our oppressor to use as evidence that we can have as good a union as England and Scotland. I guess John Jay had never heard of William Wallace and the various troubles between England and Scotland over the centuries. I wonder if, like General Milley, he knew his counterpart in England. The reason this is a false comparison is that England is a monarchy and therefore irrelevant to comparison to our states under the Articles of Confederation. Their people aren't even citizens. They are subjects. Scotland has been under the thumb and control of England also for centuries, as the King of England is also the King of Scotland. So again, this is hardly a voluntary or equal union, as are the states under the Articles of Confederation. From royalcentral.co.uk comes the current title of Queen Elizabeth II, which reads, Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, head of the Commonwealth, defender of the faith, with the style of Majesty. One has to wonder if John Jay was secretly a monarchist, and not just an elitist national government proponent. He never speaks of individual rights and only of a strong national government with a strong national defense to defend against all enemies, real or imagined. Which brings us to the false evidence and made-up conclusion. He argues that the only way the states can defend themselves is to be under a strong national government. And that is why three or four confederacies that might form without a strong constitution would make America indefensible. And yet, the colonies, before the Articles of Confederation, threw off the oppression of the British monarchy John Jay is using in Federalist No. 5 for the model for our new nation. I'm sure this did not win him converts. He repeats himself again in this paper when he writes, "It was remarked in the preceding paper that weakness and divisions at home would invite dangers from abroad, and that nothing would tend more to secure us from them than union, strength, and good government within ourselves." He doesn't define or describe the three or four confederacies he tries to convince us the states will degenerate into if the Constitution is not passed. This is directly countered by the 13 individual states at the time of this paper, which were operating rather well as one confederacy. But John Jay is convinced that he can generate the fear with this bogus argument to scare people into running to a national government for safety. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Why else would he make all this stuff up? John Jay does define one of his confederacies by saying, "The North is generally the region of strength, and many local circumstances render it probable that the most northern of the proposed confederacies would, at a period not very distant, be unquestionably more formidable than any of the others." This is rather prophetic and ironic that the Confederacy of the Civil War, formed under the very Constitution John Jay was arguing would prevent such confederacies. Jay writes that each confederacy would be as distinct nations, with individual treaties with foreign nations. Of this, he said, "Hence, it might and probably would happen that the foreign nation with whom the Southern Confederacy might be at war would be the one with whom the Northern Confederacy would be the most desirous of preserving peace and friendship." He always writes of conflict that might happen, but he never acknowledges that his fears are never realized by the states while operating under the Articles of Confederation, or that the states had a mutual support and friendship pact through the Articles, such that if one state was attacked by a foreign power, the other states would immediately rush to the defense. The colonies had neither an army, a navy, nor a national government, but created a continental army and navy nonetheless, and won independence from England. This goes against the doom and gloom of Jay's imaginary scenarios of why something that is working won't work. So what exactly was John Jay talking about? Seems to me he has a predetermined conclusion in search of evidence and comparisons that don't exist. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Well, for all you clever people who noticed that I pushed the wrong button, congratulations. That was actually Federalist Paper number 5. Although sometimes it's hard to tell because I have such a low opinion of John Jay, you know, who wrote the last Federalist Papers 3 through 5, because, you know, he's an elitist snob who believes in a strong national government and his friends advancing their power at the expense of the people, which he doesn't seem to care about at all. And the model that he uses is the very country we defeated in a war, you know, for our freedom. So it loses a little credibility with me. Anyway, we'll bring Gene back, and I got Shelby on the line too. So let's bring on Shelby. And it's great. You're early, darling, so we'll get more of a chance to chat. Welcome to the show. How are you this week?
Yeah, hi. I was just listening in, learning more.
Well, actually, there's a whole Facebook, there's a whole YouTube channel. It's Action Radio Founding Moments. And so you go to Action Radio, I think it's Dash Founding Moments. And I think I've got 17 of these that I've made so far. And this is a project that's encompassing all our founding documents from probably the Mayflower Compact all the way through all the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, Articles of Confederation, anything else that I can think of, Treaty of New York. And so this is a multi-year project to get all these things documented. But that's the channel. So you feel free to share it. Go to there and pick a Federalist paper, pick an anti-Federalist paper, pick anything you want. And chances are, you know, as this goes on, it's going to get to be a bigger library of YouTube that you can just listen to, you know, on our founding documents. So that's that. So I'm going to leave you and Gene to chat, and I'll just kind of hang back here and see what's up. Gene, Shelby?
Take it away, Gene.
Well, I don't know if I didn't know if she wanted to start talking about travel right away or not, but yeah, I'm just curious.
I haven't played the theme yet. We can't talk about travel until I play the theme. So as soon as you guys, Shelby, when you're ready to talk travel, I'll play your theme. We'll get in the mood, and then. But in the meantime, if you want to catch up on news of stuff that we've been talking about so far, then feel free. But I've got a huge topic you know what. I got a question for Shelby before we get started. Jean, do you want to go first, though? Because I got a big question.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask a question to her or get her viewpoint, since she has a child, about the, because we talked about this early on, about the FU chance, about FU Joe Biden. And as a parent, what's your take on that, especially if you're, you know, seeing that with your son, and it's like, okay, that's basically a swear word. And they're not supposed to swear, but yet you're seeing this in all these adults. So I'm just curious.
I don't even know if it would matter if I was a parent or not. I've never been of the opinion that it's very effective to name call, or to, especially against the current president. Like, I really feel like it doesn't matter how badly they're doing, unless they're truly, truly like executing people. I just feel like it's a really bad, it's a bad argument. It's a bad stance to take. I never thought it was okay when people spoke poorly about the last president. I definitely feel the same, even though I'm not a fan of this presidency's anything, but most things I should say, some things I guess are okay, but I just think it's a real sign of the times that things are becoming sort of degrading, like our morale or mm-hmm. our cultural moral compass is changing, and very much like, if all of these things kind of have a visual timeline as well. So if you just think about the way we used to be proper in speak, and we used to be proper in dress, and then we went to just wearing nice things on holidays and just to wearing nice things to church, but we still had this like moral code of what would be said in public in front of children, etc., what you would morally say. It's like it's a cultural acceptance. And now we've gotten to the point where, formal night is jeans. There's a thing called formal jeans, dress-up jeans. I think that's hilarious.
Sorry, that's funny.
And we're also allowed to, say these horrible things. One of my relatives who is, I would almost call them pious a bit, and they disliked the last president. And, they were, like, flipping him off and, like, with a sign in public on Facebook, and I was just so disgusted. It's that type of thing just scares me for the moral compass of the country. It doesn't affect how I feel as a parent. I'm scared as a parent to begin with where this is all going, and the fact that I probably won't be here to help my son. And I want to try to surround him with people that will have families that will have an extension, because we don't have a family system. But I think the moral compass has changed, and it had changed, probably about 20 years ago. And I definitely don't condone it. I can't stand once people start doing name calling and all kinds of these immature things and the swearing. I find that like you've lost whatever your side is, you've lost all credibility with me, So for me personally, I just don't engage in any of that. However, It is definitely becoming a more tolerant society of that kind of practice. So that just concerns me in general, not really separately from being a mom, you know.
I'm just curious what other people say, because I have my own opinion, but it's kind of like, try to see it from both points of view, but
I just know from
someone I used to date, his mother used to always tell me, people that swear is a sign of a small vocabulary, a limited vocabulary. This is just, it's so different because, out there.
Well, let me run it by the example that I used earlier before Shelby got here, that you look at stadiums for Trump and they're screaming and yelling, yay, Trump, with a media presence that condemns him, calls him a racist, does all these other things to try and bring him down as much as possible and basically to cancel his presidency. And yet now you have exactly the opposite. You have a media that's all for Biden, that he's legitimate, that he should be there, that he's doing great things, the country's in wonderful shape, everything's perfect, yada, 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 and off they go. And the people are just feeling just the opposite. And so what they're doing, they're saying F you Biden in stadiums, you know, reacting to the fact that there is no outlet for them. They don't realize, you know, they haven't found the news that I found, you know, One American News, which is, I think, the best source out there, and some other, and a lot of sources that I use, Epoch Times, Breitbart, Just the News, you know, natural news, all the sources that I use for the show that aren't as widely known. And so people don't have that access to the information that makes sense to them, you know, because what's happening now makes no sense. You know, limiting our energy, having container ships all sitting off the coast, having violence on airplanes, which is something I want to ask Shelby about once we get into travel. That's increased. The fact that there's like a two-sided coin here, because I remember when I was 5 years old and my parents actually flew first class. I was like, wow, this is great. So my normal was like really high. And then when I started flying on my own, I thought, I can't pay for this because everything changed, right? So that generation had more money. They had more disposable income. You had a situation where our parents, at least my parents' generation, was able to support a family on one income, have a couple of cars, a house, and take vacations and have a cottage and do some other things on one income, working 9 to 5, you know, with an hour for lunch. And yet that's what they had. That was an unusual situation. But now we're, you know, 8 to 6, you know, no paid lunch, two husband and wife working, kids in daycare, taxes are far higher, cost of living is so much higher, they can't afford a cottage, they drive to their vacations. And when you fly, it's like being on a cattle car. You know, I'm surprised, we're probably going to have goats and sheep in the aisles pretty soon. You know, I mean, they do in other countries, and it's only a matter of time before we do here, right? And so the world, you know, and I don't like the fact that only the wealthy could travel. Back years and years ago, I mean, airline travel was prohibitively expensive, and it was limited. The airplane size was limited. Then the 747 came along in 1970, and it opened it up to so many more people. But then as you do that, then you get the dress jeans crowd, and then you get down to the holy jeans crowd, and then you get to the people, you know, wearing whatever they're wearing. It gets kind of interesting on airplanes now. But the violence is being tolerated. So you got this flip side. You want travel open to everybody, but on the other hand, you know, people should behave civilly. And because we have a moral breakdown, fewer people are going to church. You know, parents aren't teaching their kids, you know, right from wrong. Schools are indoctrinating people with Marxist, everything's okay if you want it to be okay. You know, so there's such a change here. But if you want to comment on that, Shelby, then I've got my question for the title of the show today. And then, let's save the violence on airplanes. I want to talk about that separately because I've been trying to do some research on that. But any reaction to what I've said so far? Anything strike you?
It's a big topic.
Yeah, too much information. Too much to comment on. I'm sorry.
You know, as far as the fact that travel has been accessible and the moral breakdown, I don't know if I can talk about this without talking about the aggression on planes. And I don't think it's aggressive on planes. I think it's that planes and travel is stressful and they're close quarters and there's already so much aggression, and then you just kind of see it develop there. It's kind of like a pimple coming to a head. I feel like there's the energy of society is so much more aggro right now. I feel it too. There's so much frustration, and you know, we're constantly being told what to do. I always compare it to like the worst HOA president, and you're from Florida, so you know HOAs, right? And you know,
we have in California too. We have in California, yeah.
The HOA, the Homeowners Association president, almost 99% of the time, you know, it gravitates towards a person that wants this job that's, you know, one of these real sticklers for everything and is this pious, this very... very much the teacher that's wagging a finger in front of your face. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. And they just like to be very authoritative. They like to bend the rules to their own to their own liking. You know, they're very annoying people, and they just tend to like gravitate to this position. And that's what I feel like it's kind of come in this COVID world, is that all the HOA presidents are on their soapbox, even if they weren't an HOA president.
Yeah,
you know,
then they run for governor.
I can't wait to tell you to put your mask on. You know, it's just a very, very tense time. And then when you add travel has always been stressful. And I think, you know, putting people in these tight, you know, these literally tight corners and, and their aggression and anger and vibration is up. It's like an explosion. I don't think it has to do with travel. I think it has to do with the stress and the confinement of society and the way we all feel. And I think it just kind of shows on planes more so, because it's, you know, it's a closed environment. And again, we're being the HOA president at their best. It doesn't matter.
And they're
what
all
the
named
rule
Karen.
Is. They just want to make sure. Yes,
they're all named
Karens.
Karen.
It's
they're all Karens.
Yeah.
Sorry, Karen.
Yeah.
We had a Karen on the show. Yeah,
she's
not a Karen.
It's really sad though, because I understand how hard it is to keep your cool when, you know, people are spouting ridiculous rules at you. You put your mask up because you're not drinking, but like you're literally like 2 inches away from someone, and they're like, well, the HEPA filter is every 2 minutes, and you're like, come on, seriously? Like, then you have children. I mean, anyone who's ever had children, I really can't understand how you can be behind this. But I mean, any child under 10 years old is definitely not keeping their mask on the whole time. The children are just fidgety, and, you know, for a lot of these issues, I think, on the planes have happened because of the kids. And, you know, it's like people are protecting their kids. And then you get a whole other primal instinct issue where, you know, you're protecting your kid and you get into a whole different. I mean, there's the kind of things I would do to protect my kid. I mean, there's nothing I wouldn't do, you know, and you just can't control yourself with all the people can't control themselves with all the anger. That's what I think is happening on planes. Yeah. I just think it's because of the area and the stress of it all. I don't think it's necessarily the flying.
Yeah. Well, let me play your theme real quick, and we'll get into the travel mood, because I got some comments on that, but that's great points, all of them. Yeah, man. Como Shelby, to faraway places, wonderful beaches, exotic foods, meet new and fascinating people. As Action Radio cruise and travel reporter, Shelby Frenette takes you to where dreams become your reality and experiences become your best memories. Yeah, man. Here we go. Still one of my favorite themes. Maybe we should do a Caribbean accent, you know, entire report. Yo, Shelby, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. It'd be terrible.
I cannot do accents. I wish I could.
You
my
can't?
Son's very good.
And I do Russian and Indian better than I do Jamaican, yeah. It's fun. So
yeah.
You made some really interesting points, especially about airplanes. Airplanes are like this microcosm because it is a compressed environment. Now, I remember when I traveled on my own in my 20s, you know, I'd fly various places. I'd get out of my seat, go to the back, and especially if it was a long flight like transatlantic when I went to Europe. You know, we all partied in the back, all those young folks. You know, everybody else is asleep, right? We're back there getting all the excess alcohol that nobody else, you know, seemed to want because they're all asleep. And so we'd have a party in the back of the airplane. You know, I did that a few different times of trips domestically and internationally. And people don't do that anymore. They're all sitting in their seats, all compressed. I mean, are airlines encouraging people to get up and stretch their legs anymore? I mean, is it like you stay in your seat, you shut up, you wear your mask, you know, and let's put a straw through that mask so you don't have to, you know, whatever they think they're doing, because those masks don't do
anything.
Not
an eye. You're onto something new. Oh dear, don't get many ideas. Said you're a straw in the mask. Whoa, you're really onto something new. Like, you don't give them any more ideas.
Well, no, I mean, it's not that I haven't thought of it. I mean, you got school kids now that have to, they're playing saxophones and trumpets with little holes cut in their masks. So they're blowing air, as much air as they possibly can, through a wind instrument out into the environment, and yet they're wearing a mask to supposedly protect themselves, restricting their breathing on the way in. It's totally insane. I mean, the world's gone nuts.
It really is insane. So I still teach fitness and some of these places. I have not taught the whole time with a mask. I know it was like proposed in the beginning and I laughed. I said, oh, this is like hilariously
ridiculous.
Do you
wear a mask? Do you wear a mask when you're doing aerobics?
I was kind of caught off guard. I took over a few of these classes and the outside one, you don't have to wear one. And that's, I teach a lot outside. And then they had this rule that you could wear your mask unless you're sitting down. That's where it's plastered everywhere. You can wear a mask unless you're sitting down. So when I was teaching cycle class, I thought, well, I'm sitting down. I guess I'm good. And then I was told I wasn't good. And then we went to a kickboxing class. Only, the instructor, have to wear a mask. I'm like, wow, holy crap, like, I'm going to pass out. Like, this is hilarious. Like, what is this? Like, what is this? Nobody has to wear a mask but me. I'm the one person.
And you're kickboxing? How's kickboxing? That sounds like it would be an interesting sport to try. I don't want my face kicked in. You know, 'cause I'm not, you know, I wouldn't be good at it, but go ahead.
Aerobic kickboxing is fun, but you don't actually make any contact with anyone, so it's not real boxing.
No sparring? I have to, See, you know me, my competitive side was that I'd have to try it, but I want someone of equal ability and equal slowness. we can see the punches and kicks coming like, you know, a few seconds ahead of time. Oh, there it is. Okay, I can move now. You know, so ours would be like the non-impact, low-impact workout.
It's just weird, like, the rules are, it's so hard to not get upset about the showiness of it. It's not practical. It doesn't do anything. It's just so bizarre to me that these are being followed by people and enforced. And
Well, they don't have to follow them. These are only guidelines, you know. And the weird thing is, there was a CDC article that got to redacted and taken off the website. I happen to have a copy of it on my computer, but it says very clearly that the size of a virus is 1,000 times smaller than the space in a mask. These masks, you know, and the example is a mosquito going through a chain link fence. No, it's more like a mosquito going through a garage door. You know, that's the difference in size. And so these masks that do no good. Everybody knows they do no good. Dr. Fascist knows they do no good, and yet they want everybody to wear them. So you have to think, well, what's the reason? If not for health, because it's obviously not for health. I mean, these masks come from China. They're full of chemicals. They have all these parasitic worms that are in there that get activated with your breath, you know. And the parents that took the masks to be analyzed from their kids, it's a town hall article. You can look it up really easily. So just go to town hall. Look up parents who had their kids' masks tested, and they found that these things were breeding grounds for all kinds of bacteria, germs, infections, you know, everything, you know, fungus, that every infection you can think of on the mask, because it's a petri dish in front of your face that you're breathing warm air into and creating with a mask with a medium for these things to attach to. So you get the perfect, and plus they're not taken care of, changed, or washed, you know, every couple hours like they should be. So you get this perfect medium for breeding all the diseases. So you're actually infecting kids by having them wear masks 8 hours a day for a week before they actually get rid of their mask. And so everything's being done wrong. Look at anything to do with COVID, it's being done either backwards or wrong. It's counterintuitive. It's counterproductive. It's contraindicated, if I can use a medical term. And yet we're doing it. So why would you wear a mask where the virus is 1,000 times smaller than the space in the mask? Why would anybody do that? That makes no sense. Go ahead.
If they're doing it because they just want to appear like they're doing something, and then there's something written down.
Well, why do they want to appear that they're doing? That's a great point. Why do they want to appear that they're doing something? I don't feel any need to appear that I'm doing something. I just carry my own life. I feel the need to not comply, and that's actually doing more.
Well, I comply, but then you just can't work there, and you can't go there. So there's.
Well, see, that's criminal.
But that's so. I don't know what you've got in your repertoire of lawyers, but most of us don't have time or energy to fight that.
I don't have a repertoire of lawyers. I can't even afford a lawyer, but that's why we have Jonathan Mosley calling on Thursdays, which you're welcome to talk to. But the thing is, I shouldn't need a lawyer. I shouldn't need a lawyer to express myself, to carry on my normal life. I shouldn't need a lawyer to carry on trade, commerce, travel, which is a right. The Supreme Court has even stated we have a right to travel. Well, if you have a right to travel and you have a right to be secure in your person, you know, from the Fourth Amendment, I have a right to travel without a mask constitutionally. So why is this even a question? I mean, it doesn't get much more of a simple argument than that. So the fact that the airlines are doing it, they should be arrested for their mask policies. In a just country, that would happen. But the problem is the government's in on it because it's part of the marketing. See, COVID's a marketing scheme. It's always been a marketing scheme. It was a 20-year scheme in the making where they created a messenger RNA, you know, supposedly vaccine. It's actually a gene shot. And then they genetically engineered the virus to suit the vaccine, sort of. You know, and then here we are, and they put all these things like masks and lockdowns to convince people that, you know, this is real when it really is something that was basically done July of 2020. And it's fascinating that we carry on. In fact, did you see, Shelby, I'd be curious if you saw that. Senator Johnson went before the Senate, and Gene, I think, knows about this too, and then I'll let you guys chat a bit. But Senator Johnson went before the Senate, and he had a chart. And the chart simply stated that COVID, I think it was January, the vaccine came out December of 2020. And so this would have been earlier in the year, like 6 months to a year before that. The COVID was dropping rapidly. I mean, it would have been January of 2020. That makes no sense. Anyway, a few months before the vaccines came out, the deaths were just falling like crazy. In fact, I said July 2020, this is basically over. And I've got the CDC charts to prove it. All right. So then things were pretty mild for a few months. The disease was pretty much going away. And of course, you know, then the vaccines came out in December of 2020. And then he has this chart that shows the death rate increasing right linearly, a little bit behind, but right up there with where the vaccines are. So the vaccines, and I'm using that term for convenience because it's not, the vaccines were increasing drastically in their distribution around the country, and deaths were going up correspondingly. Okay. That's not a coincidence. You know, that shows that the vaccine, the messenger RNA shot, actually brought COVID back from what would have been its suppression until the next season, next year when it came back, whatever form it came back in. But he proved it very convincingly with the CDC's own chart that this thing would have been done if they'd simply not brought out these messenger RNA shots. And that's the reality. And yet, here we are, everybody's still pushing it and thinking that they better take it. They're under two false premises. One, that COVID's going to kill them. And two, that a vaccine will prevent it. And neither of those is true, except in rare cases for both. Well, rare cases is going to kill you. You've got to be a vulnerable person. But there's a lot more chance that it's going to hurt you or the vaccine is going to hurt you or kill you. Much greater chance right now. And the stats prove it. CDC's own stats prove it. So this is world weird world we live in. Then I want to talk travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it is a weird world. And I think it's unfortunately, you know, we always tend to err on the side of safety these days.
I think you said it perfectly. We are erring on the side of safety. We're making an error in thinking that this is safety when it's just the opposite. That's the part I don't understand. Everything about this is contributing to COVID. Everything about this is increasing COVID. Everything about this is creating conditions of depression, anxiety, lockdowns, mask mandates, stress, lowering our immune system, making people nationwide more susceptible to this when they should be doing just the opposite. It's the illusion of safety. It's increasing the danger while the perception is the illusion of safety is increasing when it's really just the opposite. That's madness.
So it is,
Gene.
Yeah.
Shelby, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it is madness, but this is what the narrative has been very well done, and you have most of the people feeling the same, so that, you know, you can, in psychological, like they have psychological studies that are always interesting from the 50s that you could do things to people without them knowing. This one simple study is that everybody gets into a elevator. This guy gets into an elevator, and he's the only one that doesn't know what's going on, but everybody else looks like they don't know each other, but they're plants, and they all turn around and face the back of the elevator. Mm-hmm. And then that other person faces the back of the elevator too. And it's not one time. It's all the time. It's every time. It's the group thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And this is, so it's really, and also, you know, as I've always said, you can always make a study. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the study is. You can always change the outcome to support whatever side you're on. So just by manipulating the study, which is easy to do. And, you know, the people are very, for the most part, the majority of people are definitely turning around in the elevator, and they believe what they believe is true, which is their little
masks help, and you're an awful person if you don't wear them. And it doesn't matter the rest of the stuff. If you complain about masks, you're a baby and you're selfish. So this is what these people are.
Back in my impetuous youth, I used to do goofy things just to test the social norms. So I would walk into an elevator and face the back. And when I walked in, I just stand there perfectly calmly. And then I started like humming the national anthem and just do weird things just to freak people out. This is my 20s. I was, somewhere between high school and college probably too. And we had friends. I got friends. We do the same thing. We'd all walk in, face the back of the elevator, face all the people facing us. And we look at them. And we look at them like, what's wrong with you? You know, and they feel really uncomfortable. I mean, it was hysterical. It's so easy to mess with people. It isn't funny. Well, it is funny. But I would do that just out of curiosity. So you're right on. Jean, did you have some things for Shelby? I've been sort of monopolizing here a bit.
No, but I just wanted to make a comment about just how it doesn't make any sense. I saw a picture on Facebook the other day of this lady has a newborn, was in church. She was wearing a mask. Her newborn infant, which I think she's probably maybe less than 2 months old, was wearing headphones, no mask. And I'm like, okay, it's okay for the baby not to have a mask. God, thank God she didn't have a mask on the baby. But it's just so weird that, okay, you're wearing the mask. Why are you, I was just like, why are you wearing the mask but the baby's not? I mean, you would think that, I know they say kids don't get COVID as much as adults. I get that. But yet it's like when you put the whole human population as a whole together, it's like, why does one person get it more than another? Everybody should have the same possibility of getting it. It just doesn't make much sense. But I'm like, just so weird. I don't know the thinking behind why we do things except a lot of fear, and I think sometimes to look like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think probably a fair, I certainly don't know the reasoning naturally, but I would say just knowing the times, it's very, very likely that the church had a mask mandate on adults and not children. So that would be the, more common thing. But I think the majority of people that are wearing masks just don't want the headache. I don't think a lot of them are. I don't know that every one of them believes that it makes a difference. I think they just believe they don't want to fight about it.
See, that's too bad. We're in a society where you have to fight. Otherwise, the rights are going to keep disappearing. I got a travel question for you, Shelby.
Want to make a comment, too. Said before, too, about the masks. I think what we're breathing in when we're wearing the masks is a horrible thing, because I just know how I feel after coming off a day of work after wearing the mask compared to a day when I'm not working. It's like, feel so much better. And I'm not talking, oh, we just put how many hours in working. No, it's just you're not struggling to breathe because those masks, they are constricting. And number two, it's like you're just breathing in a lot of your own air that you breathe out, then you're breathing it right back in.
I find it funny that a lot of people don't seem to have any issue wearing it. I'm like, I really don't feel like I can breathe. Like, why am I having this struggle? And you seem to be fine. Like, I see people wearing it.
Well, maybe their breath is restricted already. I wonder if people are so out of shape, but we have an obesity problem in this country where a lot of people, are lowering their oxygen anyway. Maybe the body is more tolerant. I can't do it. I couldn't wear one. I actually tried one of those blue masks for about 10 minutes, for a job thing. I said, nope, I'm going to throw up on you. I'm going to throw up on the boss, because whatever chemicals are in that, I'm very susceptible to chemicals, like I am susceptible to, if you remember the old Xerox machines, they had that horrible smell of burning rubber, in the offices years and years, probably 20 years ago right now. I could never walk into an office like that without getting a massive migraine immediately, just because of the ions and the charge, the electric charge, and that horrible smell of Xerox machinery, copy machine machinery. So some people are very susceptible to this kind of stuff. I can't wear a mask, and I wouldn't anyway. I did that, like I say, as a sort of a job thing. Then, of course, I quickly got a cloth on, wore it on my chin, like, screw you. This is what I'm doing. This is as far as I go, all right? So it's fascinating, but there are good medical reasons not to do it. But here's my question, Shelby, just to change the subject just a little bit, get it onto your specialty. Is there any country in the world right now that is a sort of a lesser touristed place that maybe wants to advance during this time that is taking advantage of the situation of vaccine passports and masks and COVID tests and things like that to say, hey, come here, you know, come here for, you know, free travel, not free in the sense of cost, but free in the sense of rules. You know, come to Ulaanbaatar, you know, the capital of Mongolia, your tourist destination. Or, you know, if it's been a while since you've been to Sri Lanka, come back to Sri Lanka. You know, remember the come back to Jamaica ads. You know, is there a place in the world or even maybe closer to home? Are there some resorts, maybe Sandals or some of those other places? Is anybody capitalizing on this, you know, in a way that would actually advance them, you know, above their competition by saying, we're not going to do this stuff. Come here. Have a mask-free COVID, you know, your choice vacation. You know, vaccinated right. or not, we don't care.
No,
is anybody doing that?
I haven't heard of anyone doing that. I was hoping at something at some point there would be that option. I will tell you, though, good news is that MSC Cruises, so right now all the cruise ships basically mandate vaccination. Uh-huh. Also, you know, even a fully vaccinated ship, they're coming back COVID positive because they're testing.
Of course they are.
this is interesting to me that it's still not common knowledge that, you know, vaccinated or not, we still are, you know, very susceptible to get it. And it seems like most people think once you're vaccinated, you don't get it. And I don't understand
so that's
why
perception.
That's.
Yeah, that's perception versus reality and assumptions versus truth. The vaccine, the messenger RNA shot, teaches your body how to make COVID, and the spike proteins that your body made in the trillions break off, and that's where your health problems come from, ultimately up to death in the worst case scenario. But people don't know that. But you know, all the experts that we talk to on the show, the doctors, the scientists, you know, the epidemiologists, the vaccine is COVID. That's the crazy part about this. So tell me, there's one country that's not. Well, Australia's loosening up a little bit. I hear there's some better things happening. I think the New Zealand Prime Minister.
Oh my
you know,
God! I've not heard
that.
At all. Where did you hear Australia was loosening up a little bit? And if that
it was on the news last night.
Well,
it was on One American News last night that the Prime Minister was on saying that they want to open up their country again to international travel. So it was just last night. Maybe you know.
They're one of the tightest. I think they're going to have everybody mandatory. The whole country is going to be mandated to be vaccinated or has been. And they have been one of the worst as far as lockdowns goes, worse than Canada. You have to register your friend to, like, they had an air time frame where it's been a year they've been locked down. And we're talking, mm-hmm. like, really locked down. And they weren't allowing anyone to see anyone except for singles. They had some sort of a opportunity for solo people to meet up with other solo friends that were in a 5-kilometer radius, and they had to register on a site before doing so, before they met up with their friends in a 5-kilometer radius.
Yeah, I have friends in Australia. I'm in contact with some people. I'm hoping to show how to be citizen legislators and start writing some new laws to see if they can get that in the public you know, the national debate. But yeah, it just came out last night that Prime Minister is trying to loosen things up a bit. But yeah, they are so draconian. I mean, China would be proud. Communist China would be proud of what Australia is doing, regulating transit that way. And that's the whole point of the vaccine passports. People don't realize that, first of all, the people that created the vaccine know it doesn't work. They know it creates COVID. They know all this stuff ahead of time. So what the vaccine passports are really doing is tracking people. They have some kind of tracking technology embedded in the actual fibers of the thing itself. This is a tracking device. Have you heard that, Shelby?
I really agree with everything you're saying because I don't want people to assume that because I'm listening that I agree. But that is a hypothesis that does not necessarily – I'm sure you don't know how to test this thing for tracking, and I certainly don't either. But we don't necessarily know that that's true. I think it's important to say that unless you're sure because I certainly am not.
Well, that's what people are reporting, and I'm going to check it out right now. Actually, Gene, can you do that? Can you look up, do vaccine passports have tracking capability? If you look that up real quick.
There's a lot of speculation out there on there.
Yeah.
I also have questions about the airlines here, because I had a friend that was supposed to travel this week, and he was told that he didn't need the vaccine, and now he does. And so are there any airlines that are mandating you have the vaccine before you travel?
So So not to my knowledge, the countries that you're going to will mandate it, but I have not been privy to information of the vaccine being mandated by an actual airline yet. But anyway, I was going to say MSC is in November, so right now everyone has to be vaccinated, mm-hmm. except for people under 12 and medical issues, but or medical exemptions. They said that they're going to, in November 9th, they're going to have vaccinated and unvaccinated. So this would be the one cruise line that I think is kind of doing what you're talking about, Greg, which is the going against the norm. We'll see in November if they actually do it. But they had been, and I mentioned them before, they're the only cruise lines that was cruising during COVID, of course, before vaccines were even available, and they were doing so successfully. And they were the ones that have been testing prior to sailing. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of restrictions on board, naturally. They don't let people off into the regular countries. And another thing to remember is it's not really the cruise lines always. It's the port authorities that have been requiring that they agree that their people will be vaccinated if they're coming to their port.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a lot of – it's a lot of steps. It's not just one person's choice, especially with cruising. But I don't think most people will be doing the alternative. But we'll see. It's a start anyway to see what, you know, options they have. I think a lot of my people will be happy because I know a lot of the guests that have future voyage credits or future cruise credits for companies that are now vaccinating. And if they don't want to get vaccinated, they're now like, well, what do I do? And I'm like, you know, that's a really good question. I really don't know. It's fair for you to want your money back if you're choosing not to get vaccinated, I said, but at the end of the day, I really don't think they're going to continue. I think they're going to change their minds again. And, you know, it's very likely
but
that you won't have to get.
But for those that have had it, I mean, it'd be one thing if they had testing. And if you tested, for antibodies, if you had immunity, that they wouldn't bother with you. I mean, I'd still object to any mandates. But the thing is, it would be a huge step forward if they actually tested everybody before giving them a shot to see if they already have immunity. Because natural immunity is far greater than any artificial chemical immunity can ever be. You know, these vaccines start off at about 60%, you know, effective, they say. And that's why you get your second shot, which allegedly brings it up to 90. And of course, that goes back to 60 after, you know, a couple of months, which is why they're doing the booster. So, but if you're naturally immune, your natural immunity only gets better and stronger and is able to handle variants, and your immune system gets better and stronger. So why you wouldn't go with a natural immunity? You know, it's cheaper, it's more efficient, and you don't have to create all these additional chemicals, except for the people that actually do need it, that don't have such a good immune system. But for most of the population, you know, 99%, there's no reason for this at all. And especially since everybody's been exposed to this anyway, several times. And most people, you know, have immunity to it by now. So why are they pushing a vaccine for something that people are already immune to? That's another part that makes no sense, unless you look at it as a marketing campaign and selling a product, which is how I see this going.
That's a good question. It's all questions, fair questions to ask. I don't have all the answers, that's for sure. I just know what's happening in travel and, you know, it's games. That's another thing that I find funny is the stadiums. So stadiums, you know, where these big football stadiums are totally jam-packed and they don't have...
F you, Biden.
It's crazy.
I'm having fun.
Like that. Yeah, I just find that so, and just that's not right. But
well, now think
anyway,
about that though. Now, why would that happen though? Shelby, here's the most fascinating part.
Honestly,
yeah, it's really disgusting.
I don't feel like that's Eddie. I just think people love to get behind being able to be provocative in public, and somehow they're
about
allowed
Trump?
To.
Trump was hated by the media. Why didn't they say that about Trump?
I don't know. I mean, these are silly questions. I'm not sure that they didn't. I heard horrible things about Trump, so I don't know why you would say that. You know, horrible signs all over their lines about him, and why did they not cheer it in a stadium? I have no idea. I mean, I feel like
part of it is, I think, because it was such a small number that disliked Trump compared to the huge number that dislikes Biden. And I think that the number may not have been that much early on, but I think people are just, I think they're waking up to what's really going on now. And I think they're waking up to what happened when Trump was in office and how the mainstream media was always painting a different picture of other than what reality was.
Oh, they're making stuff up.
Exactly,
truth, yeah.
To fit their narrative.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I got to change things because go ahead, just finish. Then I'm gonna, go ahead.
Media is always the question. Why? Why? That should be the bigger question. Why?
Yeah.
Why is it allowed to just report whatever they want rather than what the truth is?
Oh well, see, that's the problem though. If the government decides what the truth is, that's a whole different thing. And Josie's on the line too, so I want to get to her. But I want to ask you a big question because where we're going to go in the third hour is what happened yesterday on social media, and you're a social media guru. So let me ask you, what happened yesterday with the worldwide social media blackout? And take a few minutes on that if you want.
Definitely. I have to get more, you know, do some research today because there really wasn't enough time yesterday to figure out what was wrong. But I will say that clearly, so Facebook, Instagram, and I was told even Twitter went out. TikTok and LinkedIn were still up. And, you know, nobody really knew why. Mark Zuckerberg
didn't make an announcement. TikTok is out of communist China. That's why it was still
up. What I'm saying is nobody knew why it went down. No one knew why the other ones went down. So Mark Zuckerberg came on and said something like, you know, we're working on it. I would say because it was such an odd time, it wasn't a planned. You know, my husband's in IT. It doesn't seem like a planned upgrade because the timing was very off. Like if you're going to do a planned upgrade to a server, you do it in the middle of the night. You don't do it, you know, mainstream time.
Planned upgrade. That is fascinating that you say that. Is your husband available to call us in the third hour? o'clock to 10. Oh, too bad. Because you guys, if you can listen to, I've got some stuff for you that I've been digging up right before the show. If you listen to our third hour at some point, and maybe bring it up next week, or if your husband wants to come on, I'd be very interested in his opinion. Because I got a ton of theories. What's that? Is he going
to
come on?
He's not able to come on the show. But
I tried.
It's definitely very suspicious, that's for sure. It's definitely very, very suspicious that they were all down. And it's just a reminder of, you know, how dependent we are on social and how it's, to me, I think it should be a reminder to everybody, you know, how controlled their lives are and that, you know, you have to have first party information as far as, you know, digital marketing and social media marketing. I always advise my clients to still get in, you know, first party information, meaning phone numbers, addresses, email addresses for contacting people because, you know, it's always changing all the time and you still need a direct contact to your customers or potential customers. So that's always, but it's definitely very intriguing that it went down for such a long time and no one has much to say about it, but we'll find out more, I'm sure.
Oh, I do.
I got
a bunch to say
about it. Yeah,
what do
you think
it is? Yeah.
What's your theory?
Well, I really have to develop it, but here's what I found out, and I'm going to bring Josie's line be live, too, in case she wants to join in on this topic. But what I found is that as I looked into it, I got a few articles. Let me just go through them real quickly. I got a few articles that explained it. You know, why did this go down? I've got In Business, you know, and they have some explanations. Then I got Yahoo News. And then I've got another one here from, where's this one here? This is Edinburgh, you know, Edinburgh Live. So a Scottish thing. Why did Facebook, they all have the same headline. Why did Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram go down? And they have various things. And this one phrase kept coming up over and over again. What do they call it? Let's see if I can find it here. It's faulty configuration change. That's what they're saying. What the hell's a faulty configuration change? So you know me, I'm digging around. I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. Let's look up faulty configuration change. So I did, you know, and then I found out how to look into faulty configuration changes. Who that's cybersecurity. All right. Well, who does cybersecurity? The CISA does cybersecurity. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, and what do they also do? Well, they do elections. So who is involved in elections? Facebook. Huh. I'm putting two and two together. Okay.
Yeah.
It gets better. It gets better. All right. Because now I'm looking at this going, now what is there a connection between Facebook and the CISA? Because we know that big tech and government cooperate on censorship in blocking what they consider fake news. And then I thought, well, okay, fake news. that's a weird little, that's just kind of funny when I think about it. Facebook news. Yeah, there we go. So anyway, so who headed up the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency? Chris Krebs did. who's Chris Krebs? Well, he was the alleged Republican that said that the 2020 election was the most secure in history. Oh, really? I don't think so. Okay. So Chris Krebs got fired by Donald Trump. So where is he now? Well, this is interesting. He's now with the Krebs Stamos Group. Okay. So Chris Krebs, who got fired by Trump for basically being an idiot or a hack or helping contribute to election fraud, whatever it was, you know, he's now with this Krebs Stamos Group. Well, who's Alex Stamos? Not John Stamos. Okay. All you people that were thinking of, you know, Family Ties, whatever that show was. No. This is Alex Stamos, the founder of the Stanford Internet Observatory and a recognized security technologist. Well, that's interesting. He led the security teams at, are you ready, Facebook and Yahoo. So now we've got a connection with a cybersecurity person that said we had the most secure election in history. We've got a guy who runs Facebook security. We've got Facebook going down, connections all over the place here that I'm only just beginning to explore. And it looks suspicious as hell to me that this would happen during the day. And they have what they call a configuration, a faulty configuration. So my contention, being the suspicious person that I am, that there was nothing faulty about it. This is a reconfiguration. They did something. I don't know what they did. Yeah. But we know they hate conservatives, and we know they want to censor, and we know they have algorithms, but whatever they did, they had to black out the entire social media world to do it. And they got some of the top people in the world, computer cybersecurity experts, that all seem to be working together. And as we know from the Hillary campaign and the fake Russian collusion and the FISA and the FBI and the media collusion with them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the congressional conclusion by the Geldings and the Marxists, that these are usually involving several different parties. So I don't have an answer yet, but I think I'm looking in a very interesting direction and making connections. That's what I think. That's what I was hoping that your husband would join us. Shelby?
I do. I heard someone say, so I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, Jean, Josie, do you want to jump in here? Josie, what do you think?
Yes. This is the beginning of the 10-day to 15-day of darkness. We've been talking about it 4 years ago by Q. The Republicans, not just the Republicans, but Donald Trump and the intelligence military are behind this. We believe that this is because of all the conservatives were like excited yesterday. A lot
by
of
what?
People called me and they said, it's here because we're going to have a blackout of darkness for 10 or 15 days.
Okay,
and
we only had about 6 hours.
Yesterday.
So, you know, call me suspicious. I love your theories. I do. I really do. I love having them on the show.
Okay.
And I wish, you know, Q and I were back up and running. But I need to see more. I need to, I'm very suspicious of this because it was only for a while. And we need personalities. We need to go down the rabbit hole. And we need to be walking on the same path here as to the who's and the whys. And I need people. I mean, who do you think is doing this? Why are they doing this? I'm going to try to make some connections in this next hour. And I'm going to go through those articles in detail and see what I can build. And a lot of it I'm going to be thinking of on the spot. Mm-hmm. But those are the connections that I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already connected Facebook to the CISA, to Chris Krebs, who was fired, to the fact that Facebook was involved heavily in the elections, to the fact that social media controls information. And all. And why would a Facebook executive be with a government cybersecurity executive on their own private company? Who knows what the hell they're doing? So these to me are real connections. I don't have the answers yet, but these are real connections. So if you say, and like I said, I'm not putting you down. I want to analyze this in a way that makes sense to me. So if it's military intelligence, if it's Trump, if they're going to black out things for 10 or 15 days, I want to know why. I want to know what they're going to accomplish by doing that other than completely destroying, you know, most of the businesses that use social media, including mine.
The reason they're going to bring everybody down and shut them down is so they can come and tell the truth. So I think this is a test that they're doing.
But they don't have to do that. They don't have to shut everybody down to tell the truth. You look
yes,
at Trump's rallies.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You know why? Because
okay,
if they don't do it, they shut everything down. They don't allow you to. Remember when Trump was trying to do that, CNN will not allow for people to see him. Yeah, it's going to happen. Just believe me. That's all.
Okay. Well, I don't.
Censorship
because
there's censorship.
I want to get Shelby in here because I know you have to go soon. Yeah, well, Shelby, then Jean.
So I do have to run, but I just want to understand. So the theory, so Greg, your theory is basically that this is coming from government coercion with Facebook.
No, that's not my theory at all.
No.
My theory is that Facebook did something that we don't know about, and whatever they did, they had to shut down the whole social media in order to do it. I don't think it was a faulty configuration at all. I think this is a well-planned, purposeful reconfiguration. What I don't know is what they reconfigured. But they're using this as a cover for whatever they did. That's what I believe. I don't believe it's a government, you know, but I'm just tracing people, and I'm finding government connections. I'm finding election connections. I'm finding Facebook connections, and I'm finding the media cooperating by calling this a faulty, you know, a faulty configuration. And so I've got evidence and I have definitions of what that is. I've got some more stuff to read, but that's my contention, is that they did something purposefully, and they whatever they did, they had to. It's like when you say you did the very thing that I was getting to, upgrades. When you upgrade your computer, you restart it. Okay, so whatever they did, they shut this media down, they put in whatever it was, their upgrade, and then they restarted it. And I want to know what that upgrade was. That's what I think.
Okay, well, I'm Shelby. You're fabulous. You guys are awesome. I can't wait to support. I gotta run. Sorry. Thank you so much for the time. It was nice to hear from you, Gene, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
We'll pick it up next week. I got this perfect question. I couldn't get an answer. Gene, you want to take it on? What do you think? That's my theory.
You know, no. The reason I say that, I have my own thoughts, but I'm just really waiting to see what the next few days spring will help me decide if my speculation was accurate or not. But I think there was a reason for it, and definitely it wasn't planned by, like, Facebook. Those people, not planned by them.
So you're of the faulty reconfiguration theory as opposed to the purposeful reconfiguration?
Like that. Yes, because I don't think it just happened. I don't think it was just a fluke. I think there was something major going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you do think it was
something behind the scenes.
You do think it was a real configuration.
Way.
Okay. All right.
Something
let's get to Josie, and let's get to whatever
Facebook.
You want to talk about. We can hear the border. Yeah. We can hear anything. What's going on? Yeah. Or you can go back to this. This is fascinating.
Yes. More and more Haitians are arriving in Chile, and now they are arriving into Guatemala. Sent by the United Nations and the other migrant groups, and probably George Soros behind with all the money. But the people from Santiago, Chile, are very, very upset because that's where they're arriving, a lot of them, to the capital of Chile, Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my friends, because I ask through Messenger, they're not happy at all.
Are they coming? Sorry. Are they making their way this way? Is that what you're saying?
The United Nations and this other migrant group, Jitsu, sending them from Haiti to Santiago, Chile, and they're sending some now. They're starting to send a bunch of them to Guatemala, which is closer to Mexico. And once they get to Mexico, they're coming here. And a lot of them are coming across already, you know, through the border. They don't have to wait under the bridge.
Is there any way we can stop this? I mean, the insanity to think that medical people are losing their jobs. They're not losing their jobs because they aren't vaccinated, yet they're bringing all these people across. God knows what kind of diseases, COVID, whatever they're spreading. And I thought that we take people here if they can benefit America. And I hate to be cruel, but it's like, when is enough going to be enough?
Yeah. The only way to stop this is to get the loser criminal in the White House out, because he said he will be happy in one of his things that he said until he brings 30 million illegal. And that's what his goal is, to destroy this country. You should see my little town of Pensacola here. The traffic is out of control now. People are driving like mad because there's so many Latinos and Haitian, the Congo, Kenya, everybody's arriving here too. I was talking to one of the young men that came here with his parents, and I told him, were you being persecuted in Honduras? And he goes, no, we just wanted to come here. He goes, to have a better life. He goes, and we still have our home over there. And if we want to go back, we can go back. And so they don't have nothing to lose, to try. And he also
wait a minute. So these people have a home? They're property owners. We've got a country full of renters that are paying taxes to support people that have a home in another country. And they're here for the benefits.
And our Americans are being kicked out of the apartments and housing because the rent is going up and up and up and up. And anyway, this young man was telling me that they got messages from friends that they're arriving here that to come here because here is better than Texas. So you should see how many Hondurans are here now and how many people from El Salvador and how many. They're arriving, a lot of Haitians, Jamaican, Kenya, from everywhere. They're here. They're driving out of control. I can see a lot of accidents happening already on my street. It is it's bad. But anyway, so the United Nations is behind this whole thing.
Why?
And
what
they
get out
are
of
doing
it?
It on purpose.
Yeah.
Our system, to overwhelm our system and our country. And they have George Soros behind this with the United Nations, and they have done it to Europe, and they're doing it here. And now we got the perfect criminals in the White House to go along with the whole thing. And the criminal put them from Mexico. So it's all organized, well organized, this whole thing. So thousands and thousands are already crossing the border, and they're already in all these little cities like Pensacola and all over the Florida area. They're all here, all here. They're coming in, and nobody's stopping them. Nobody's doing nothing.
Well, I wouldn't say nobody's doing nothing. We're trying here.
Well,
but here's the thing. We have a great solution. We have a bill that's before the county commission, and anybody can call them up and find out and talk to them about it. In fact, I have to call the commission after the show. But, we have a bill that creates an illegal alien-free zone, and using asset forfeiture would make it impossible for illegal aliens to live here. Any county in the country can adopt this measure also. So there is something that can be done. It's just that they're not doing it, and most people don't know about it yet because we don't have our 5 million listeners. I've upped it from the 1 million. I want 5 million now. So, you know, but that's when we'll be able to have an impact and able to change these things. But it really requires people, you know, just doing something really simple like sharing the show, like sharing that bill, talking about it, talking about having an illegal alien-free zone, an illegal alien-free county. Start at the county level. You know, it's very simple to do that. I've written the bill. All people have to do is share it, send it to your county commissioners or your city council and say, I want this. I want this law here.
Yeah.
That's it. So our hardest part of Action Radio is not writing the bills. I mean, I could do that. But we have other people writing bills, too. Who's written a bill. Okay. Gene, it's your turn. We need to get you writing some stuff here. But, I mean, you know, the writing of it is the easy part. The hard part is getting people over their apathy. And over the disbelief, over the perception that they can't do anything, that they can't make a difference. And that's by design. I mean, the powers that be want people to think they can't make a difference. And I'm here to say, yes, you can. Not only can you make a difference, you have to make a difference. Otherwise, we're screwed. Because we got illegal alien. We got goat herders and their five-year-old wives. You know, and that's not a country I want to live in.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace what's happening. Hey, Greg. I just got a couple of messages, one from D.C., one from Indiana, and they're conservative. They're sending me messages. Are you ready for the storm? Remember I was telling you that 10 days,
oh, yeah,
10,
I remember.
15 days of darkness?
I don't say it can't happen.
I
just want more evidence. I want more evidence that you can tell me, and this is why. Okay. I'm hanging in there with you. I just want to know. You know, because my skeptical nature, I'm suspicious of everything, unless it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't, because I think they can do everything they want to do. See, here's the thing that doesn't make sense. It never made sense to try and arrest all the criminals, but still allow Biden to steal the White House. That never made sense to me, because the damage that man has done to this country, you know, is irreparable completely. I mean, we're never going to be quite the same. We can make up for a lot of it, but we're never going to be quite the same. It was not worth arresting. It was not worth, you know, gathering evidence. By allowing this to happen, they should have done what they did in 2016. They should have cheated better than the cheaters that time. They should have done it in 2020.
Did you see some of the videos that has now come out about January 6th? And it was just a minute worth of video, so it doesn't show much except a peaceful group of people entering the, you know, in D.C. in the you know, in the building, and so obviously there was more to it than that, but why isn't Pelosi allowing all the videos to be let out? Because I think once they find out
because
what
she's leading
really
the insurrection,
it's going to blow their narrative. And I think that's sad. But another thing I want to...
She's leading the insurrection.
Exactly.
She is the coup.
Yes.
She and Schumer and McConnell and all those leaders in Congress, the business as usual crowd, they are the coup.
Yeah.
Not
right.
the
and
people, you know. But you got to start using terms like Capitol Hill invitational walk-in. You know, people are using all the wrong language. It's not a vaccine. It's a messenger RNA COVID shot or a COVID infusion. You know, and I got to think of a better term for it, but people have got to start using correct terms. When you say vaccine, you're contributing to the problem. When you say Biden administration, you're acknowledging the coup. When you say President Biden, you're acknowledging the coup. Those are words that I don't use for a specific reason. Words are critical.
I have to say something, though. I just want to make one more comment before you go on. And, you
know,
I said I will admit when I'm wrong. And, you know, for the longest time, I really thought that Biden was just really cognitively challenged. And, you know, the more things go on, I think he is not. I think he knows. I mean, he's just – this is planned out so well because he – and sometimes I wonder, though, if it really is Biden. And the reason I say that, because I know there's some theories out there that he's really not the real Biden. And if you look at the pictures of him, he's either had a ton of facelift or I don't know what the heck has gone on, but he is just not the same. And what I want to get at, too, it's not even as though aging. No, it's just he does not have
the same younger.
Yeah, the same facial structure as he did. And so, I think there's more going on there than I have thought. Because initially when I heard him talk and how incoherent he was and how he didn't make sense, I think there's been so much more involved in that.
And even Trump mentioned, like, it's not Joe Biden, kind of like telling us. We believe that he's a clone because he keeps touching his sleeve like if he's pressing something. And a lot of – they started this clone thing a long time ago, but I'm not going to go into it because Greg doesn't believe in none of this stuff in the intelligent military.
I didn't say I didn't believe it. I said I want more evidence. You know, this is why I loved Harry Caron on talk about the QAnon stuff.
We cannot talk about it because it's coming and we don't want to ruin it. But 10 days, we've been – all the conservatives, we've been preparing with plenty of water, food, flashlights, everything that we're going to need. We're prepared.
It doesn't make sense that you have to do that. To shut down the country, to arrest a whole bunch of people who are guilty of election fraud. That doesn't make any sense.
But I think there's going to be a lot of unrest. I think there's going to be, a lot of emotion, put it that way.
We're not shutting down the country. We're shutting down the media that are censoring us. Like, we're going to shut down Facebook, YouTube, CNN, Twitter.
See, I disagree with that.
We're going to shut down.
All right, now here's the problem with that.
So let me
just say this. You can't solve a dictatorship by replacing it with yet another dictatorship. This is why the military tribunals, even Sidney Powell said the military tribunals was a total nonsensical concept. It was never going to happen because, first of all, it can't happen. You don't want the military running the country. You want General Milquetoast running this country?
They're going to have to, though.
No, they're not going to have to. No, they don't have to. No.
Okay.
And this is why I disagree with you, okay? You keep saying that, but I'm still waiting for – I hate to say this, Josie. I'm still waiting for one of your predictions to come true. I'm still waiting, you know?
Dates
have passed. Things were supposed to happen, and they haven't happened yet. That's why part of why I'm suspicious. But here's the thing, though. I don't want the military running the country. I don't want Trump or conservatives or QAnon. Hold on a second. I don't want anybody shutting down the leftist, socialist, Marxist media. As much as I despise them, I don't want them shut down.
Did you hear yesterday, and I don't know if this is true, but Trump has been moved to a safe place?
For what?
Yes.
We know.
They don't
we
pay.
Know.
Have you got a story on that?
We know.
Oh, God, I don't know where I saw that. They said that I saw it on Telegram. And not that you can believe everything you see on Telegram, because I'm getting kind of disillusioned with that. It's a very, yeah.
Well, doesn't he have a rally Saturday? He's doing a rally this Saturday.
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe he is. But he's being well protected.
Well, of course.
He's working with about 800 intelligent military, Donald Trump. It is coming, and you will see, because in order for people to open their eyes and see the truth of the more than 70 something years of corruption that we're bringing down, it has to happen this way. We have to go through darkness in order for people to see the light. And it's coming. That's why I've been getting a lot of messages early this morning. Are you ready for the storm? And the storm is coming. We're not shutting down the country. We're just going to shut down the censor people, that they're censoring us, because we
Who's
want
we?
Everybody to hear
Who's
the
we?
Truth. Then the
Who's
truth
we?
Is going to come out.
Who is we? Who, when you say we are going to shut down the media to get the truth. Who's we?
The intelligent military and Donald Trump. And we almost, I'm not going to say I 100% believe it, but the one behind this whole thing is JFK, because he wants to bring them down because they killed his father. But we'll
JFK
see.
JFK Jr.?
I'm not going to go.
Yeah, there's so much speculation with him. Yeah, so that will be interesting, because there's pictures of him supposedly being spotted in various places and stuff like that. Very interesting.
Well, we can look up his airplane accident. I remember covering that for when that happened. I had a friend of mine, Ken Hamblin, was a talk show host. And he called me so to ask my opinion, because he had my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. And so he's a fellow pilot. And so, yeah, that would be, you know, we talked about it, you know, his dying. I don't think they faked that. I saw the pictures of the wreckage. You know, that is caused by a graveyard spiral. I mean, I don't think he's still here. But if people have seen him, okay, then he's got to come forward.
I mean, there's all kinds of speculation, but yeah, that's been really ramping up the last, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, quite a
few months.
Yes.
Yeah. See, there's certain things I do believe and certain things I don't. I believe Flight 800 was hit by a missile. I believe the Twin Towers was, they weren't brought down by the airplanes. I believe that, because that doesn't make sense to me. So logic and reason govern what I do. Okay, that makes sense. It does not make sense that Trump and military intelligence are going to shut down all the media. I don't see, first of all, how they can. And secondly, I wouldn't want them to anyway. And if you want to get the message out, Trump can get his message out. He gets his message out all the time. Why do you think there are 80 million Trump supporters in this country, you know, 80 million Trump voters?
No, he doesn't.
But he does, though. He's got One American News. He's got Newsmax.
He's
got Breitbart. He's got Epic Times. He's got Just the News. He's got all kinds of outlets. He does YouTube. He can do Rumble. He can do any number of things. And, of course, it's Trump, so he's going to get a response. There are tons of ways he can get
there is,
he's getting his message out every day.
He's also shutting down the mainstream media.
Who is?
That's the thing with the blackout. It's not just to get his word out there. It's to shut down the mainstream media. So
we will. CNN. Yep.
CNN's not that big a deal.
YouTube,
CNN has fewer listeners than we're going to have in another year. I'm not worried about CNN.
No, but it's just all of them put together. NBC, ABC, CBS, even Fox.
Yeah.
You think Fox is for Trump? Heck no.
No.
Not anymore.
They're not.
No.
All right.
None of them.
All right. Let's take a break.
You will see.
I know. I'm waiting to – trust me, I'm waiting to see. Let me take a break for a couple minutes. We're going to come back. I want to go in-depth into what really happened yesterday. My theories, your theories, Josie's theories, Gene's theories, and, of course, live chat is open.
We already know.
You crack me up. But live chat, if you want to talk about it, I mean, where's Bumper Jack? We haven't heard from Bumper Jack yet this morning. There's another person. We do. Bumper Jack, JFK. Yeah, Jesse, you're going to have to explain it when we come back. There's another one, another person online, G's still learning. So G's still learning. Feel free to comment. Anybody wants to join live chat, all you need is a free account. at Blog Talk Radio. Just go to the live chat. It'll explain all how to do that. And then you can join us with any information that you want to present as controversial as you want. I mean, the whole point of that is that's where I think most of our disagreements are going to come is from the live chat keyboard. So let me play you some things.
Okay.
And this ought to let's see what Bumper Jack thinks of this. And I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country. To call any show on the Action Radio Network from anywhere in the United States, the number is 215-383-3832. To call any show from outside the United States using Skype, call 011, then 1-215-383-3832. We have many groups within Action Radio which will become laboratories for citizen legislation and serve as a place you can go for more specialized information. From the main Facebook page, Action Radio with Greg Penglis, at facebook.com/radiolegislature, you can check out our Action Radio news group, our vaccine project, the Family Law Project, the art project, the writer's page, the video page, our new student advocacy group, and many more groups that are coming soon. Remember, at Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news.
Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
Okay, we're back. We've got Joseph on the line. We've got Gene, our producer. We can have your calls at 215-383-3832. And we have the live chat if you want to type in a message, which let me know if something happens. So if you hear this tone, let me get to this tone. I don't you know if Josie's even heard this. But when you hear this tone, that's our hotel bell. That means Gene has something for me. Either a live chat or an announcement or a question or something like that. So, because Gene's like 1,000 miles away from me right now. So we're producing this show all across the country. All right. So something happened yesterday. And it's fascinating to sort of listen to Josie's perspective, Gene's perspective, Shelby's perspective, all of which are different as to what's going on here. So I started looking into this. Yeah, and Gene, Josie, if you want to sort of comment, feel free to leap right in here. But I noticed it happen. I thought, well, this is strange. Why would they do that? And then as I started looking into it this morning, I got more and more suspicious that something really big has happened. We just don't know what it is yet. And so I know I'm very suspicious of Facebook. They call it a faulty configuration, and it just looks, you know, this just smacks of prepared. If they had done it in the middle of the night, nobody would have noticed. But of course, this is a multi-billion operation in terms of people. So the middle of the night, you know, it's only the middle of the night in a certain part of the world because these folks are worldwide. So there's no time when they could shut down when they wouldn't be affecting, you know, millions and millions of people. The question is, at what part of the world at night? I mean, they should have done it when night was over the Pacific Ocean, but they didn't do that. They did it in the middle of the afternoon. Gene, go ahead.
There's speculation that Zuckerberg lost like $8 million or $7 million. Or it was $1 billion. I shouldn't even say because now I forget what it is. But it was some astronomical amount of money. And to him, that's just pocket change, but that's still a lot of money. And so
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I don't think it was planned.
No, I do think it was planned because whatever was worth doing was worth losing $1 billion over. You know, so whatever they did, it was worth. See, this is where I'm more on the Josie things. That I agree they did something really horrible. I don't think I know what it, obviously we don't know what it is yet, and we may not find out. But watch your Facebook. Remember when I talked about this a couple of days? Well, I talked about my post, but I noticed a couple of weeks ago that I would go to my Facebook page and certain posts were missing. Usually the more controversial, more political ones. And I thought, well, this is interesting, you know. And so then I'd refresh my screen. I'd go to the top of the window, you know, where it says, you know, facebook.com/GregPrangles, you know, for my page. And I click on that, and all of a sudden, oh, there's the post that I was missing. So you have to go to your page, but when you go to your page, they selectively remove things that they don't want. They're hoping you forget about. But if you click refresh, then they put them back in, you know. So otherwise people start complaining. Mm-hmm. That wait a minute, you know, where are my posts? So that's a new configuration, okay? And I think configuration is code for algorithm, and I think algorithm is code for, you know, control. So we want to control you, and we're using excuses as an algorithm, and now they're saying that it's a configuration. So I thought, what the hell is all this stuff going on? So then I started looking up. So In Business, website In Business. And it's the title is the same title as most of the other articles. They all have the same title. Isn't that a coincidence? What did WhatsApp, Facebook and Instagram, why did WhatsApp, Facebook and Instagram go down? And this is world's biggest social media platforms, quote, sorry for shutdown late on Monday. I mean, why didn't they do this on a Sunday? You know, they did it on Monday. Oh, the website is The National. And this is the business section of The National. Okay, so I misspoke. October 4th, 2021. So I called yesterday 10-4 day because it was 10-4, October 4th. So 10-4 day is like May the 4th be with you in May.
That would do your impressions. May the force be with you, young Jedi. Mm.
Anyway.
You're good.
Well, thank you. it's the microphone. It just makes me sound better. Josie cracks up every time I do Yoda.
Sounds good.
But one day I might do a whole show with Yoda, just for the fun of it. That'd be hysterical.
Welcome to Action Radio. Jedi, you might be with practice and training. Remember, there is no try. There is just do, and you're not.
Mm. I would love him to be my GPS navigator.
Oh, Yoda?
Oh, my God. Yes, I
turn
love that.
Turn left at the intersection. Fred's Bakery. Important it is. Mm. Is that what you want?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. Maybe I should maybe I should do that. Maybe I can be a voiceover, you know, take my voice synthesizing Yoda.
Yes. I love things like that when I'm driving. It's like, oh, my gosh, yeah.
See, I want Marilyn Monroe for my GPS. I want Marilyn's voice saying, oh, Greg, turn left at the flower shop. Think of me when you turn left. It's Marilyn, Greg. That would make my day. So I want Marilyn Monroe. She wants Yoda. Josie, who do you want in your GPS?
I don't know.
Josie?
We like Cheech and Chong. My husband.
Cheech and Chong? You want Cheech and Chong in your GPS?
Oh, that would be great, too.
Give me Cheech, like you won't believe. It's crazy.
I can't really do a Cheech, you know, because Cheech is great. He's fabulous.
The
I don't want to happen to Tommy
one.
Chong. How about you could do Ricardo Montalban, fine Corinthian leather, plush velour carpeting, turn left. No. I'll do my best. Okay, I'll work on that one. Anyway, so the article says, now that we've digressed, in fact, if you want to call me with your favorite person that you want in your GPS, just for the hell of it, or put it in the live chat. You know, feel
that
free.
Would be awesome, yes.
That'd be awesome. So I want Marilyn Monroe. Gene wants Yoda. Josie wants Cheech Marin. This is great.
I want Cheech.
This is fun. You want? Oh yeah, that's hysterical. You know, so this is Action Radio. We have our moments because without humor, we're all dead anyway. So it doesn't matter. All right. So the article starts off: billions of people around the world rely on Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram to keep in touch with business contacts, family, and friends. And Shelby was saying that, you know, you want to rely on first person things, you know, phone calls, emails, things like that. But at that point, you can only reach one person at a time, and it's time consuming. You might have to wait a day for a return call or a return text or things like that. But Facebook Messenger, you can reach, you know, I have coordinated, I'll have like 5 or 6 Facebook windows open, you know, with different conversations going on at the same time. You can reach an amazing amount of people. Plus your posts reach incredible amounts of people. So the idea of social media is that it's social. It's like the ultimate party line. So it is critically important. It's important for my business, Action Radio. Action Radio, you know, a larger part of what we do is done on social media. Okay. So it is important for me. So when this went down, I'm like, uh-oh. What's going on? So the article says Facebook is the largest social media platform in the world with about 2.9 billion users. Its WhatsApp messaging platform has about 2 billion users, and with more than 1.3 billion using Instagram. the photo and video platform it purchased in 2012. See, Facebook's bought all these things. Okay, see, that's the they call that a restraint of trade. They call that vertical integration, when one company owns all different facets of an industry. All right, so that's an antitrust violation in itself, but they're so big that nobody's actually challenged it. Besides, they donate so much money to buy campaigns and politicians anyway. Article says, so when all three networks went down for several hours late on Monday, it was quickly noticed by those who rely on the site for social contact and business. But what caused the outage? They say, or the approved article says, Facebook first took to competing platform Twitter shortly before 8 p.m. UAE, I guess that's universal something time, on Monday to confirm it was aware of issues that was working on to resolve them after thousands of people reported outages. Well, I'm sure millions of people reported outages. It says it blamed a quote, and here's the term that keeps popping up over and over again. So I want you to think about this: faulty configuration change. So configuration is how things are arranged. A configuration change is changing how things are arranged. A faulty configuration change would be a faulty change in what they were trying to configure. But what if it wasn't faulty? What if it was by design? This is where my mind goes, right? It says, for the issues in a post on Tuesday morning from its vice president of infrastructure. The vice president of infrastructure? That's interesting. Santosh Janardhan. Santosh Janardhan took to Facebook to say, quote, sorry for the outage. That's like, my bad. For the outage, and to blame, quote, configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between our data centers. Can anybody translate that? What the hell did he just say? Configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between our data centers. Anybody know what that is? I don't.
No, repeat what you just said. What?
That's what I said. Configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between our data centers. What it sounds like it's akin to is air traffic control. It's like if the control towers that control the airplane suddenly stop talking, and the airplane's up there wondering where to go. So they fly around in circles for a while until the tower comes back on. That's what it sounds like. He says, to all the people and businesses around the world who depend on us, we are sorry for the inconvenience caused by today's outage across our platforms. My bad. Well, they're really saying, Facebook's saying, my bad. Well, I think it's more than my bad. This doesn't make any sense to me. Facebook, here's a tweet from Facebook. We're aware that some people are having trouble accessing our apps and products. We're working to get things back to normal as quickly as possible, and we apologize for any inconvenience. That's like, your flight's been delayed due to mechanical issues. We'll get back and, we'll be boarding as soon as we possibly can. Does anybody believe this? This crap? This is crap. This is a lie. This is a cover-up.
Right.
Okay. It gets better. More quotes. We've been working as hard as we can to restore access to our systems are now back up and running. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Don't they have backups? If they're going to do a reconfiguration, don't they have a gazillion ways to keep the system up because it costs so much money for it to shut down? All right. Unless they did something
that
requires a reconfiguration. They do have backups, right? So they have backups. They have backup routers.
Yeah,
they have backup networks. Yeah. They have backup everything, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So why do they need to shut the whole system down? Unless like a computer upgrade, which I suspect it is, they had to shut it down and reboot it with all the new technology in place. We just haven't seen it yet, but it's already there.
Wow.
That's my contention. Am I convincing you, Margie? I'm not done.
They were shut down. That's what happened.
This is only the first article. All right.
Okay.
Continuing on. Data on the web service monitoring platform Down Detector showed almost 50,000 people had reported the outages on Facebook by just after 5 p.m. Some 72% of complaints cited issues with the website, while others were linked to issues with the server connection and the app. How would they know? If something's down, how would you know what it is? Anyway. Yes. All right. So that's yada, yada, yada. Okay. So let's get to the next article. Yahoo. Let's see if they say anything different. Yahoo News, why did Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp go down? Well, isn't that interesting? That's the same headline. What a coinkydink. And this is from The Independent. So, but this is put on Yahoo News. October 4th, Andrew Griffin. All right, Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram have all gone down in a major outage. Such problems, dash, especially after they've been ongoing for hours, dash, likely indicates there is a major problem with the technology underpinning Facebook services. All I can say to that is, stupid moron. He says, and those issues can easily last for hours. Well, apparently they did. So that's another duh quote. In 2019, when it suffered from its biggest ever outage, it was more than 24 hours from the beginnings of the problem until Facebook said it was resolved. So they've done this before. Ooh, now we have to look up 2019 and see what happened then. Article says, what's more, Facebook might never truly reveal what caused the problems. Well, true words were never spoken. It's right here, Yahoo News. Okay, Andrew Griffin. Thank you, Andrew. You let the cat out of the bag. Facebook might never truly reveal what caused the problems.
They aren't going to want to let people know if it was planned, which is doubtful. And number two, mm-hmm. they don't want people to know if it wasn't planned, why it really happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he says again, after that wonderful statement, he says, after that record outage in 2019, that's Facebook, said only that the problems were a result of a server configuration change. There are those words again. Except instead they replaced server configuration change with faulty configuration change. Same thing, blackout, same excuse, configuration change with one word change from server to faulty. You guys seeing a pattern yet? See where we're going with this?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. The article says, this time around, at least some of the problems were related to domain name system, or DNS, which works something like a phone book for the Internet. When a user types in a web address, such as Facebook.com, then the computer needs to turn that into an IP address, which is a series of numbers so it can access the data that makes up the page you want to see. Now, you can't tell me that the world's biggest access IP address isn't Facebook.com, because I can get Facebook.com anytime except yesterday. Why? Because they were doing something. It says, when Facebook was down, however, that system was not working. Oh, my. The computer searches for the numbers it wants to see, but the numbers aren't there. Facebook servers should have provided them, but the phone book is, in effect, blank. So they turned off access to their network. No, they didn't shut down. They turned it off. It wasn't a crash data thing. It wasn't a, whatever configuration change. Well, we'll see what we're going to configuration change thing. They turned off the IP address. They wouldn't let anybody go there, all right? This is getting more interesting. So when Facebook was down, however, that system was not working. The computer searches for the numbers it wants to see, but the numbers aren't there. Facebook servers should – okay, I already read that. I'm sorry. When it comes to Facebook, that meant anyone attempting to access the site will see an error code, depending on what browser they use. Apps might work a little differently. They would still show existing content. It's far from the only company to suffer issues. In July, many major websites, including those seemingly unconnected companies such as Home Depot and Delta Airlines, went down because of problems at Akami, which offers a DNS to its customers. So I don't know anything about DNS, but I think that's limited. I think that's an excuse. I think that's part of the cover-up. So third source, Edinburgh Live. Let's go to Scotland. Lassie, hey, where did you kill there, Lassie? We're going to go to Scotland for the Edinburgh News. Go ahead, Jesse.
Greg, you should ask Anthony. He might give you answers. You know, he's an IT guy.
He is an IT guy.
Anthony
Miami. Oh, I know. I haven't heard from him for a while. He's been busy, doing his doctorate in electrical engineering. But hey, Anthony, if you're listening, give us a call, 215-383-3832. Next article, why did Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram go down? 7-hour outage explained. Well, let's explain it. The outage affected millions of people worldwide and caused a frenzy on the other surviving social media platforms, such as Snapchat, Twitter, and new favorite TikTok. TikTok, of course, is owned by whom? Who owns TikTok, everybody? Come on, let's all get it together.
China.
Who owns TikTok? Communist China. The Chinese China Communist Party owns TikTok. Now, isn't that suspicious? Who does Facebook work with? Communist China. Connections. Okay. So whatever happened didn't happen to TikTok. That in itself is very suspicious. So TikTok gets a huge jump. Since the social media giants Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger apps, WhatsApp, and Messenger went offline after a major system crash on Monday that lasted a whopping 7 hours. Well, they didn't say in the other article it was a system crash. They said it was a faulty configuration and the IP addresses couldn't find Facebook. Now it's a system crash. See, they don't have the story straight yet. Okay? They haven't gotten this together. They don't have, they're using the same title, but they're not using the same message. Article says, popular messaging services, WhatsApp report issues that affected thousands of users, linked applications. All right, give me something different here. I got all these right before the show. That's why I haven't read them carefully yet. Here we go. After the outage that caused meltdown among the public, Facebook finally disclosed the reasoning behind the shutdown of the application. Wales Online, that would be W-A-L-E-S, not W-H, not Wales, All right. As a, you know, like Britain, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. All right. Listed below is everything you need to know about the worldwide social media outage. Okay. So when did social media apps, Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram crash? According to website Down Detector, we heard that in the first article, that monitors reports online of online outage using a plethora of different resources. We know when the time began. Okay, reports. Give me something new here. News is we're still attempting access. All right, so it doesn't say. It says it's going to say what caused it, and they don't say what causes it. That's pretty typical. Oh, here we go. Facebook said a, quote, here's their words again, faulty configuration change on its routers was believed to be at the center of the outage. Believed? What, did they make it up? Well, we think it's this. These are genius high-tech people, and they believe? They think? Maybe? That doesn't sound right. Back to the article. It said in a statement, our engineering teams have learned that configuration changes on the, here we go, on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between our data centers caused issues that interrupted this communication. Well, there you go. There's the same statement again. These people, they're all parroting the same lines. And then we'll give you, we got different, this is network. And, oh, this disruption to network traffic had a cascading effect on the way our data centers communicate, bringing our services to a halt. We want to make clear at this time, we believe the root cause of this outage was a faulty configuration change. We also have no evidence that user data was compromised as a result of this downtime. Well, of course not. The user data was still there. That wasn't what they were doing. They were doing their stuff, not our stuff. The platform added it was working to understand more about the outage in order to, quote, make our infrastructure more resilient. This is fascinating. So they just have more details there. Okay, I think I've got enough of this. Let's try the last article. Anybody have any questions so far? Jean, Josie?
No questions.
I'm just looking at the Reuters article. Oh, here we go. Several Facebook employees who declined to be named have told Reuters earlier that they believe that the outage was caused by an internal mistake in how internet traffic is routed to its systems. Wait a minute. Facebook employees who declined to be named? Isn't that special? Of course not, because they'd be fired. Told Reuters. Reuters is the German news service, all right? It's the German AP. Told Reuters earlier that they believed that the outage was caused by an internal mistake. Who thinks it's a mistake? Who thinks it's on purpose? Quick poll.
Oh, I don't think there's no mistakes.
No.
Okay. Makes sense.
No mistakes.
The failures of the... no
mistakes.
Justin, do you have a comment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no
better.
Mistakes. We already know what's happened. The ones in group B, they do not believe it, but it's okay. I'm in group A.
Oh, I know. I'm in group Greg. I'm in Group Action Radio.
No, you're
Gap.
Not believing.
Oh, Gar. Yeah. I don't know. Well, listen, I believe what my logic and reason tell me. All right. The article continues. The failures of internal communication tools and other resources that depend on that same network in order to work compounded the error, the employee said. Security experts have said an inadvertent mistake or sabotage by an insider were both plausible. Ooh, it's the rogue terrorist in Facebook that did it. We got to blame somebody. So what do you bet? Within like a couple of days, they'll name somebody. Yep, they did it. It's their fault. They get fired. Then they get a big pension and off they go. All right. We want to make clear at this time, we believe the root cause of this outage was a faulty configuration change. I've heard that enough times. All right. Let's get rid of these articles. Questions before I get my next series?
No,
this is going to get better. All right, so let's go. So then I started looking at what a faulty configuration change is, all right? And that led me to this website, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the CISA. And I thought, well, that looks familiar. Who are those folks from? I know them from Chris Krebs. And where do I know Chris Krebs from? Because he's the one that said the 2020 election was the most secure in history when he just lied through his teeth. So let's talk about the agency that Chris Krebs used to head up that seems to be involved. It's the I'm getting confused with my TV shows. CISA works with partners, what, like Facebook, to defend against today's threats and collaborates to build a more secure and resilient infrastructure for the future. So what is configuration if not infrastructure? What is multiple data router centers if not infrastructure? So who would know more about infrastructure of Facebook than CISA, the people that work with companies to get better security, right?
Right.
Interest, Interesting, huh? So their website says defend today, secure tomorrow. The Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, is the nation's risk advisor, working with partners to defend against today's threats and collaborating to build more secure and resilient infrastructure for the future. CISA's new logo, officially launched April 30th, has layers of meaning representing the agency and its mission. Layers of meaning. These people are dark people. These are the black ops. These are the secret people. They say the threats we face, digital and physical, man-made, technological, and natural, are more complex, and the threat actors more diverse than at any point in our history. CSI, pronounced phonetically like CISA, that's what they call it, CISA, is at the heart of mobilizing a collective defense. Anyway, so let me get past that, and let's get on to what is interesting. And they have assistant directors of risk management, yada, yada, yada. So let's go to... I got about. So let's get to the part here that's more interesting. Is this the one I want here? Ah, here we go. Now CISA has a component, CRR. CRR is a risk guy. It's part of CISA, and they have this document here that talks about configuration and change management. So I thought to myself, okay, well this is interesting. So if a faulty configuration change is the problem, what in fact is a configuration? Right? So I started looking into that too. Let's see if I can find, here we go, configuration and change management. So there's actually a department of CISA, the computer, cyber, security, internet folks, that actually has a section on configuration and change management. So they're already working with this. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we know that the person that used to run this said that the election was the most secure in history, and we know he now works with the Facebook security guy because I talked about that earlier. So here's the overview from the Configuration and Change Management. Configuration and Change Management, CCM, is the process of maintaining the integrity of hardware, software, firmware, I don't know what firmware is, and documentation related to the configuration and change management process. CCM is a continuous process of controlling and approving changes to information or technology assets or related infrastructure that support the critical services of an organization. This process includes the addition of new assets, changes to assets, and elimination of assets. So if you're going through a configuration change, you're in a process of controlling and approving changes to information or technology assets. What is social media if not personal information and algorithms?
Right.
And censorship. And why are these people there? And what are they doing with Facebook? And did they work with Facebook? They obviously worked with Facebook on the election.
Yep.
Because Chris Krebs, who used to run this organization, you know, got fired by Trump because he was a criminal. All right. This is the overview. I'm not going to go into too much detail because, you know, I'll post these articles. But it says, as the complexity of information systems increases, the complexity of the processes used to create these systems also increases, as does the probability of accidental errors in configuration. That's what they're saying happened. The impact of these errors puts data and systems that may be critical to business operations at significant risk of failure that could cause the organization to lose business, suffer damage to its reputation, or close completely. Having a CCM process to protect against these risks is vital to the overall security posture of the organization. Is there anybody that doubts for a second that Facebook does not have a CCM process to protect against the risks that is vital to their operation so that they don't have a faulty configuration change? Is there anybody that doubts Facebook doesn't already have the software to make sure that doesn't happen?
You have to be dumb not to believe it.
So if we assume
they have
the technology, it's right here. This isn't even classified. I'm reading it right here.
So we
know what configuration change is. We know that it's adding and subtracting information. We know that Facebook did something yesterday while they were blacked out. They reconfigured Facebook is what I'm thinking. They reconfigured Facebook. We just don't know how yet. Part of the reconfiguration, I think, is what happened a few weeks ago when I noticed that certain stories were not appearing anymore. Oh, isn't that interesting? And here we go. So I got another one here. This is Codementor community. David Essien, development operations engineer, software developer with 3 years of experience. Well, that's good. A brief introduction to configuration and change management. Let's go further down the rabbit hole. So what is configuration management? Configuration management is the process of managing the configuration components or resources of a system or environment on which a software application runs, okay, like Facebook. Configuration management ensures that these resources and components maintain a consistent state. This consistent state is referred to as a baseline. Remember when they talked about the baseline routers or the backbone routers or something like that? These terms are all new to me, so I'm trying to connect the dots here. He says the main aspects of configuration management. This is dry, dull, and boring. Trust me, it's going to get better. Okay, identification of configuration items. Then they got labeling of configuration, protection of configurable items, keeping the baseline and other information. A baseline is established for the configurable items. This will be a baseline that can be deployed at any time. Records are kept of releases, what was changed during the release, and who changed it. Oh, so they already have a record of what happened. They just don't tell us. So if they're doing a configuration change, this guy just says that there's a baseline. And they have a record of it. Records are kept of releases, what was changed during the release, and who changed it. So they already know what happened because they've got a record of it, according to this guy, of what configuration management is. So Facebook knows exactly what happened, probably because they did it. So now we know that they know. Okay? We know they know. They're just not telling us, and we know that they're not telling us, and we know why they're telling us, because whatever they did, they don't want us to know. See how all this works? You keeping up with the psychology of all this? It gets better. Configuration, verification, and audit. The configuration items are regularly checked in order to ascertain that they are in a consistent state. I've heard that term before too in another article. Defining responsibility. The team assigns responsibility to members to the different aspects of the configuration management process. For example, who does auditing, reporting, or approves changes? Who do you think approves changes at Facebook? Anybody want to speculate? Who approves changes at Facebook? Mark
China.
Zuckerberg?
China.
Who's behind? You know who's behind Facebook, and they gave him all the money to start the CIA.
LifeLock.
Behind Facebook.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what Karen Hoffman reported when she was our special investigator. LifeLock, LifeLog, was supposed to be the log, in other words, the book of your life.
Yeah.
That Facebook is. Then it changed to Facebook.
Yeah,
it's a CIA front company. Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
Well, let's see what they're doing. Hey, Gene, you want to look up CIA Facebook connections? That should be fun. We got a few minutes. We got 24 minutes left.
Let's see.
Gene's the best. Gene's
They're all behind. And the intelligent military, it took almost 20 years to plan this whole thing. They allowed us to win because it's all well organized for them to win. And I know a lot of us conservatives are upset that it's taken this long, but they're behind the scene. They're doing so much right now that we're not allowed to know. But
that's
Donald
the problem.
Trump
they're taking
return,
too long.
Okay.
Well, I'm waiting to be convinced. So then I found this gateway funded.
You will.
Then I found this in Gateway Pundit. So I'm looking at, so I looked up Chris Krebs and I found this thing from Gateway Pundit, and this is December 2nd, 2020. So this is the month after the corrupt election, the one that, the coup. It says corrupt FBI director Chris Wray and now fired CISA director Chris Krebs produced video before the election declaring the 2020 election secure. Produced video before the election. So now I've got a connection with Chris Krebs, I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, so Chris Krebs now has a connection to Chris Wray at the FBI. What did the FBI do? The FISA warrants, the fake dossier, the Mueller commission, the fake impeachment information. I mean, the FBI is up to their ass in election fraud. And now they're connecting with the guy who was fired from our cybersecurity agency, the director who said it was the most secure election in history, when he knows damn well it wasn't. He probably participated in the coup himself. So let's see what this article has to say. FBI Director Chris Wray and now fired CISA Chris Krebs claimed before the 2020 election that everything was secure and nothing to worry about, which we all know is hysterical. He says shortly after the 2020 election, which will go down as the most corrupt and fraudulent election in world history, Krebs and a group of deep state colleagues claimed that the election was secure. That this prompted President Trump to terminate Krebs' position with the government. Smart move. President Trump fired top U.S. cybersecurity official Chris Krebs on Tuesday, days after the agency Krebs led issued a statement that categorically rejected the Trump campaign's allegations of voter fraud. Krebs served as director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, a branch of the Department of Homeland Security tasked with protecting the 2020 election from hackers. Did they? No. Every election, every Dominion machine probably was connected to the internet. So not only did he not protect us from, you know, hacks, he probably directed them. Okay. And why is he connected to Chris? Why is he connected to Chris Wray, who's the most fake FBI director? I don't know who's worse, him or Comey. I can't really tell. They're both horrible. Which leads to my last couple of articles. And those are going to be these ones right here. Chris Krebs. Let's talk about Chris Krebs for a second, because I got some stuff on him. Chris Krebs. Christopher Cox Krebs, born 1977, is an American attorney who served as the director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency in the United States Department of Homeland Security from November 2018 to November 2020. And November 2020, President Trump fired him. Okay. Dismissal. Yeah, I think that's about it. Oh, he also had filed a lawsuit against DeGeneva, and did some other things. You can read that. And that I'm going to skip over that. So let's go to Breitbart. So Breitbart says President Trump fired top election cybersecurity official Chris Krebs. I want to learn more about him because I think he ties in with this very clearly. President Trump announced Tuesday he fired Chris Krebs. Let's see. Is anything new in here? Like I say, a lot of these articles I pulled out just before the here we go. The recent statement by Chris Krebs on the security of the 2020 election was highly inaccurate in that there were massive improprieties and fraud, including dead people voting.
I'm sorry.
Did you drop something? Hold the presses. Gene found something.
No, it just sent me to YouTube, and that's why you heard the explosive noise.
Oh, that's what that was? That was special. No, that's pretty cool.
Sorry,
that's
everybody.
Cool. I like that.
I woke you up.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Wow. So here's one from Christina Wong, 17th of November 2020, about 2 weeks after the election. Oh, you woke us up all right. Here we go. Here's Chris Krebs. He says, on allegations that election systems were manipulated, 59 election security experts all agree. In every case of which we are aware, there's your disclaimer, these claims either have been unsubstantiated or are technically incoherent. So in other words, nobody mess with the voting machines, all right? Now, we all know that the Dominion is guilty as hell. We know from the audit, the Arizona audit, because we suspected it all along. So let me see if I can find somebody. He's got any other connections here. Trump, Krebs, Trump, Krebs. Sorry, let's get to the last article here, which is Krebs' new company, the Krebs Stamos Group, okay? They got a nice little thing here. Helps organization turn their greatest cybersecurity challenges into triumphs. Is there anybody that doubts that Chris Krebs was hired by Facebook to ensure their infrastructure? Anybody doubt that? Anybody? Go ahead, just tell me. Yeah, I didn't think.
Oh, no, it's there's always a reason.
Mm-hmm. So Chris Krebs and John Stamos, the actor, no, Alex Stamos, they say what we do. Companies face unprecedented challenges living up to their responsibilities in an era of aggressive state actors, unrestrained cyber criminals, and widespread information warfare. Okay, well, that's interesting right there. So in other words, if we agree with it, it's good stuff. If we don't agree with it, it's aggressive state actors. Another, that'd be Trump. Unrestrained cyber criminals, that would be anybody who disputes the election, and widespread information warfare. Well, that would be anybody who publishes the truth. Trust is hard to build, they say. Easy to lose and too often based on a complicated web of imperfect information and opaque dependencies. These guys pride themselves on being mysterious. They say, we work with our clients to help them understand the threats they face, the weaknesses in their posture, and the role they play in the security of our wider society. Oh, really? Facebook's in that? We help our clients build the security teams, processes, programs, and culture. Needed to exceed the expectations of customers. Da, 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 da. All right. So let's see who we are. Who we are. Chris Krebs. This is his little puff piece. Most recently secured America's election as the first director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Secured? They actually said he secured the election? With a long career as a cyber policy expert in private and public sector, Chris has unprecedented experience building coalitions to deal with critical security challenges. All right. So he hosts meetings. That's interesting. Here's the guy I'm really interested in, though. Alex Stamos is the founder of the Stanford Internet Observatory. I want to find out what that is too, Gene, if we got a few minutes left here. And a recognized security technologist, he led the security teams at Facebook and Yahoo as they confronted some of the world's most challenging threat actors and has helped dozens of companies build strong security foundations.
What did Stanford want?
Okay, Stanford Internet Observatory. And I know I asked you for something else, too, so I want to give you a chance to find that.
Yeah, I'm still looking into this. There's a connection between the CIA, hold on, through...
Oh, CIA Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, through, hold on, let me get back one more page. We can talk more about this tomorrow, but it's through the InQtel. There's a lot of articles on that.
Wow. Can you post them on the Action Radio group? Post anything to find the Action Radio group because that's public and people can take a look at it.
I will do that.
Or just
when
send it
I
to
get
me.
Off work today.
Yeah, that sounds good. So anyway, Alex Stamos is the brains here, and then the Stanford Internet Observatory. But this guy was the former Facebook security expert, now working with the person that corrupted our election, who came from the government, part of the deep state. So you've got the deep state and you've got social media working together. Gee, what can go wrong?
Don't need to even ask.
So I don't have the answers. I'm just saying that there's a lot of weird connections going on here. And their website is very simple, ks.group/who. Okay. I don't even know who these people are. Oh, contact us. Let's see how we contact them. Engage with us, work with us, talk to us, call us. Should we call them? Hey, are you guys responsible for the social media blackout? What really happened? Maybe we should probably do that. I'm going to keep this. Keep this website. I'm going to have some fun with these people. All right.
Sure.
So
they're going to tell you for sure.
No, they're not. No, they can start monitoring me.
Of course not.
Well, yeah. Just a little bit I've learned so far is the Stanford Internet Observatory is a cross-disciplinary program of research, teaching, and policy engagement for the study of abuse in current information technologies.
Abuse?
So that makes, yeah, with
what does that
focus
mean?
On social media. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, that's all I have. So if we want to kind of like free chat, anybody else, let's check live chat, see if anybody's got something there. But
what I would like people to say in, for those people that believe in prayers and stuff, Governor DeSantis in Florida, his wife yesterday, they put out that she has cancer. And so just send some prayers to them and the family and for healing.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Indeed. We're praying for her, and I just hope and pray that it's not the vaccine that is causing this on her breast cancer.
I don't know. I know it makes cancers. It blocks the body's ability to stop cancer because we all have, cancer succeeds when it blocks the body's ability to block cancer because we all have cancer blockers all through our system. So that's kind of interesting. Oh, Josie, we got an open chat here. JFK, Bumper Jack says you're tripping on LSD, just to let you know. Bumper Jack's our resident critic.
It's okay.
Yeah. Do you have a response?
It's okay.
Yeah, all right. It gets better. So we have another comment here.
I'm not 100%, but that's what I hear. And we've been listening to Q for 4 years, and a lot of the stuff now? We go back.
How do you get Q information now? Because I haven't seen them around.
We do. Yeah.
Where? Where can I find it?
Over 4 years.
Yeah, where? Where can I find it? Okay, good.
Well,
I used to like Q Update. Q is fun.
We're connected with Truth and Art TV, and he keeps us up with everything. And
send me stuff. I want
also,
Q stuff.
Also, you can. I have, and you don't have time to look.
Well, that could be.
I get like
50 videos a day at least, and I keep telling people, why aren't you sharing my show?
That's what you said.
I do. I get. All right, let me go back and take a look at the stuff you sent me.
Okay.
All right, so here's the other one too. In fact, Bumberjack says people who perpetuate fraud don't sue like Dominion opening themselves up to scrutiny in court. I don't understand that. That's just illogical. Giuliani admitted in deposition they didn't have proof of election fraud. Well, why would Giuliani go through dozens of hours of hearings in several states with thousands of affidavits and proof up the wazoo that there was vote fraud to then say he admitted in deposition they didn't have proof of election fraud? That's insane. That's irrational. That doesn't make any sense. Bumper Jack then says Giuliani said he got it from social media, and I'm not sure what that means. But we do know that from the Arizona audit that the Dominion machines were connected to the Internet. Not only that, they could be connected remotely. So if you had the passwords, you didn't even have to be in the election commission, election observers. You didn't have to be anywhere near the election official stuff. You could connect to the Internet and change the results of the Dominion machines. That's what came out of the audit. That was, I've forgotten who did that. It was three of them. It wasn't Cyber Ninjas and it wasn't Dr. Sheev. It was the other person. Doug Collins, I think was his name. I think he was the one that looked into that. Anyway, so we know from the Arizona audit that this is a total fraud. We know that Texas is now thinking of doing an audit. I think Wisconsin's working on it. Georgia has to do it because they're so corrupt. It's scary. And that's what I think Trump's going to be calling for. So watch Trump to be pushing audits. Now, I'm surprised he hasn't funded any. Or at least gotten, you know, some rich foundation like Heritage or Cato or the Republican Party to fund it.
But the thing is, he really has to watch what he says and what he pushes, unfortunately, because people will say he's a sore loser. He's this, he's that. He just won't accept the outcome of the election, which we all know the outcome of the election was a bogus election. So it needs to be investigated. And once the findings are out, then we'll talk again.
Well, Hillary still hasn't accepted the outcome of the 2016 election, and yet has offered absolutely no proof that anything was fraudulent about that. In fact, just the opposite. She's the one who's been proven now to be the fraud with the Durham investigation. Durham actually indicted somebody. He actually has an investigation. So now let's hope that the person he indicted now sings like a canary, and we'll start talking. I mean, ultimately, we want Hillary prosecuted for this.
But you know, Greg, there was fraud throughout the whole 50 states, and the event that I was in, the 4th of July, they told us they got 100% evidence in their hands. They have different flash drives with everything in it. They're just allowing all the states, different states, to come out with the proof, but we really don't need it. We have it, and we're going to present it. And that person that thinks that I'm on LSD, I'm a Christian missionary woman. I don't drink. I don't smoke. So they are the ones. But it's okay to make comments. We're in a free country.
Oh, no, yeah.
So
I'm not going to respond
to
personal attacks with other personal attacks.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, right here he's saying the Arizona audit did not reveal fraud. I'm so tired of this. Obviously, he's not listening to the facts. There's no more warrant to even discuss this because we know that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of fraud.
That's a talking point. You know,
it's
post
like,
the 3 hours.
Well, that's what the problem is. It's all talking points because they can't come up with anything original. They don't have facts. They just have the talking points.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Anybody can go to the Arizona – just go to YouTube. Even YouTube has it, all right? Just look up the results of the Arizona audit, and you'll see President Karen Fan there with a 3-hour presentation of Dr. Sheva, of Cyber Ninjas, of Doug Collins, of all these – and there's a couple of other people there that were presenting stuff that made it very clear that they found massive voter fraud. They found massive election fraud. They even have a security tape of the criminal – in the Maricopa elections office that was redoing the results. They actually have a timestamp. So they looked on the computer, it says when the keystrokes were coming in that were changing the election results, and they turned the security cameras back to that time and found out who it is. Now, they haven't mentioned who that person is, but somebody's going to get arrested if, and there's a big if, here's the problem, if the Arizona Attorney General will do his job. And that's where we're running into kind of a stumbling block because he's a coward, he's a weenie, he's a dish rag. And he doesn't seem to have the intestinal fortitude or cojones to do the right job. He's a gelding until he proves otherwise. And we can't afford geldings. We need stallions, not geldings. And so that's the problem. You know, it's we're in a strange situation where all this is happening. But, let me go back to live chat, see if Bomber Jack wants to talk to me some more. Anybody wants to call in? I'm surprised we haven't heard from Pianchi for a while. Oh, he says, the Arizona report did not reveal fraud. Yes, it did. I said, I read the report. That's not what it said. Okay, Bumper Jack, post a link to the report you read. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to Facebook and I'm going to find where I have the Arizona audit. the whole thing, all 3 hours of it, and you can watch it. And then you can get back to me and tell me, well, I better refresh my screen so that make sure Facebook actually includes it. So you two want to talk for a couple minutes? This might be taking me a little bit to find, but I want to get this for Bumper Jack to actually show him or her.
It's just so interesting that the left just talks talking points. There's no facts behind it. It's just like every day is the same day, just actually a different day. Like Monday is the same as Tuesday. Tuesday is the same as Wednesday. No new facts, just talking points. And it's amazing. It's like that's what makes it hard to have a discussion because they have nothing to say except blanket statements that there's no fact behind it. We already know mainstream media doesn't tell the truth. Just like they said, oh, Biden got more votes in Arizona. Yeah, he got more votes, but how did he get them? Dead people? People that voted 2, 3, 4 times? People that voted from places that aren't even an actual place of residence? People that voted that didn't even live there anymore? So don't tell me Biden, he may have gotten more votes, but how many were legal?
Yeah.
We don't know.
He got more ballots. He didn't get more votes.
And how can you have more absentee ballots or ballots sent in the mail come back than were sent out? You can't. Mm-hmm. If it was legal, you couldn't. Yeah. There's no way possible.
But you know crazy. What's going to happen at the end when the whole thing gets revealed, the truth about everything, about the towers, the Pentagon, the COVID, child trafficking, I mean, the money, Ukraine, Russia, everything will be revealed. And let me tell you, Greg, the conservative people don't have to worry because the Democrat people are going to go after them, after their own leaders.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. You're going to see. They're not going to believe how they were betrayed, how they exploded the towers. How they lied about the Pentagon. It was a small missile throwing, not an airplane. I mean, the building in Miami, they did it. They did it. The Democrats did it with so many innocent people sleeping at night, dreaming, and all of a sudden they're in a hole in the bottom of the earth. I mean, this is horrible. All the shootings, I mean, it's all going to come out. It's all coming out.
They better hurry up because we've got a midterm coming up, and I see no evidence based on what happened in California with the geldings allowing the vote fraud to allow for Newsom to stay there. You know, it still is, and we knew the 2020 election was fraudulent. So, but the gelding old party still let 2 senators steal the election from Georgia. So most of the problems we have now with our national debt and everything else and all the things that they've gotten through Congress, the ridiculous amounts of spending, are all because the Republicans let 2 fraudulent senators from Georgia take their seats. The Republicans also let, including Mike Pence especially, let Biden skate on the actual election count from the states. That's their problem too. Now, I post on the chat, here's the proof. So Bumper Jack, you want to copy that, www.youtube.com/? You know, all that thing. So that's the code for the Arizona audit. So when you've watched those 3 hours, come back and talk to me. And it's a very common thing for folks on the left to say there's no proof. Well, there's no proof they've seen because they're not looking. There's no proof because they can't. Yeah. They refuse to look at it. It's like when they say, well, the courts have thrown out all the evidence that there's any vote fraud. Well, that's nonsense. The courts have not thrown out the evidence. The courts haven't looked at it because they're cowards. They're geldings too. And so you've got to get the actual rulings. And here we go. Okay, anyways, he's got more coming.
What really happens in, Greg, what really happens in America, because, you know, I was born in Nicaragua. I've been in America for 50 years.
Right.
Never taken a dime from this country. I've been working on my own. I'm an entrepreneur, businesswoman. And what's happening with the heart and the mind of American people, because American people are good people and they believe they're well trained to obey law. So they just cannot comprehend and believe that this fraud has been going on way back. We have evidence since 2004 in our hands. That's what we were told 100%. So the election of Obama was fake, and we're going to prove it.
So,
well, see, I
want to
see that too, but they're waiting too long. Here's the biggest problem I have with this.
They're waiting
way too long. Obama has never produced a valid birth certificate. We know that because Joe Arpaio, when he did a forensic audit of the long form birth certificate, ruled it to be a fraud.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And that was never countered by any other agency. I know, because Joe Arpaio was on my show. Go back to my WEBY podcast page on Facebook. You can find it. You know,
yep.
But that's because they tried to cover it up. You know, that nobody, I mean, the mainstream media and all those, they didn't want any, doesn't want that out there. And
mm-hmm.
I think what we need to do is get rid of all the people in government that say they're Republicans, like Mitch McConnell and some of the other, well, I'd say most of them, and get them out of there. They need to be out. They don't have the country's best interest at heart. The only best interest they have at heart is just like the Democrats, their own.
Yeah. Well, you're seeing a huge change. You're seeing it with the new people in Congress.
Many Republicans will be arrested. Yeah. Many, many will be arrested together with the Democrats. So, well, it's almost 9, so
mm-hmm.
God bless.
Well, the most important thing right now is to pursue the audits, to have Biden decertified. I would have him disqualified, because if you committed fraud, you should be disqualified.
He needs to be disqualified.
He
should be kicked out anyway for what he's
doing
with the border. That is illegal. Illegal.
Well, everything he does is illegal because he's not supposed to be in the White House. You know, the wrong person's there. This is Trump's second term. And so every day, you know, that goes by is a theft. Every day that Biden's there is a theft of Trump's second term. Okay. And so, you know, as Bumberjack says, that there's no, you know, there's he keeps saying there's no proof. He says, I watched the video, there's no proof. Well, you couldn't watch the video and say
no
proof, because
the video
is nothing but proof. So that's not true either. Anyway, we're out of time. Good show today. We covered a ton of ground. And I got a surprise for you all, but I can't tell you yet. I'll tell you Thursday. All right, so Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Go ahead and do something for your freedom. If not, you're not going to have it. Talk to you tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. Eastern, 6 in the morning.
God bless.
Time.